Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we don't want no devils in the house.
Yes,
we want the Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes,
Jesus, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We don't want no
We on a ultralight beam, we on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything. Deliver us serenity, deliver us peace, deliver us love, and we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it. Now I'm in need you now. Pray for Paris. Pray for the parents. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel faith, and in my holy war.
The pressure, not blessing. Why, oh, why you do me wrong? Whoa. You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Hey. Don't have much friends to fight, so I look to the light. Whoa. Don't make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make everything alright. And I know that you'll take good care of your child. Oh, no. I'm afraid of the night, cause I look to the light.
If they come for you, I will shield your name. I will feel their questions, I will feel your pain. No one can judge. They don't know. Put on the devil's neck to the drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demons just like Pam. I mean, I fuck with your friends, but damn, Gina, I've been this way since Arthur was anteater. Now they wanna hit me with the ooh, I've been trying to snap photos of family. My daughter look just like Sia, you can't see her. You can feel the lyrics of spirit coming in braille. Summon of the underground, come and follow the trail. I made Sunday candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail. You tell us do a good ass job with Chance 3. I hear you gotta sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that the day one gosh darn part you can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak. This is my part, nobody else speak. This little light of mine. Glory be to God, yeah. I'ma make sure that they go where they can't go. If they don't wanna ride, I'ma still give them raincoats. Know what God said when he made the first rainbow? Just notice at the end, if I'm too late for the intro. I'm just having fun with it. You know that a nigga was lost. I laugh in my head cause I bet that my ex looking back like a pillar of salt. Cause they flipped the script on your ass like Wesley and Spike. You cannot mess with the light. Look at Luciano from 79. We on a ultralight beam, we on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything.
Hallelujah.
Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith.
Yes,
but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe. And in my holy
war. Father, this prayer's for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer's for everybody that feels...
We will be right with you momentarily. Thank you all for being so patient.
For the one person that's tuned in tonight, everybody else gonna trickle on down. Let me see. We trying to get our music straight. Music want to try to clown on me today, but it's all good though. All to the good. But man, hey, make sure y'all do something real quick. Make sure y'all take care of y'allself for real, man. Cause from what I'm hearing though, as far as the getting that shot. Everybody got to go ahead and build that immune system up before they can get the shot anyway. This is news that's been coming down to me through the past couple weeks, and you got to take your vitamins, you got to drink your water, you got to work out, you got to do all that to build yourself up before you even take the shot. So, make sure y'all doing that. What I want to do, draw your attention real quick. We got some merch in the building. Man, we got rid of that headache for sale though, but the t-shirt's out, so I'm about to get up and I'm about to take this camera over here. Just let y'all see what we got going on. Maybe y'all should get a pic or something real quick. Take a pic and then put it up on the screen. I'll grab a shirt real quick. I'll be right back. Your shirt. Let me see what size we got here. We got extra large. You gonna love this. That black one is a 4X. So, fellas, I got you covered. Big guys, I got you covered. But this right here, you gonna want this. It's a good old t-shirt you can wear. Hell, I don't even care what you do with it. After you give me that $20, I don't care what you do with this t-shirt. You can pee on it. You can wait. You can wait till that time of the month and drip the blood on there. I don't care what you do with it. As long as you give me that $20, this shirt is yours. Fellas, big guy. I got you covered. We got the merch. Are we going to get the ladies? Oh, straight up. Right, big fella weather, straight up. So you're going to want to come on out. Come on out and get you one of these shirts. Get you one of these shirts. Hey, we're going to be getting some hoodies in. I know y'all like hoodies. Get some hoodies in. Come on now. Hold on, let me take this camera over here real quick. Hold on. There you go. Hit me up, y'all. Hit the inbox. I'm in town to like next week, probably January 2nd in town. So hit me up. Come through. Do whatever you got to do. That hat is not for sale. But if you want to give a brother $10 for that hat just might be for sale. That hat just might be for sale. I don't know why he put that hat there. I told him that I was keeping that hat, but... Right. That's right. Everything must go. And it's more service than what you see on that table. There's going to be some more service that's going to be sitting there. So come through. Get yourself some merch. Somebody in this chat room. Who up in the chat room? I need that 20. That's John. Where you at, John? John, you supposed to have been up here. Where you at? Hope you're feeling better, bro. Let me address something else too tonight before we get going. Some of you all seriously really need to be detached from the matrix. I don't get it, but I talk about people. Talk about men scrambling around, being stressed out, buying last minute gifts, and people think it's a problem wrong with me. Let me tell you. The other day, what was I at? I was at Walmart, and it's this guy. We were standing in line, and he was sweating, and his hands were shaking and stuff. And I heard him talking to the woman. I'm like, "What's up, bro?" He's like, "Doing good, man. I just got this new girl, and I hope she's gonna like this gift that I got her." I'm like, "What you got for her?" He had some nice little stuff. He had a watch, a t-shirt, and some other little stuff for her or whatever, like a little package with some soap and some cologne, you know what I'm saying, perfume, stuff like that. He really went out his way, you know, on a Walmart budget. Wait, I'm looking at him. I'm like, man, bro, you like, hey, you might need to get your blood pressure checked. But he's shaking and sweating. And like, man, and so I just, posted up today. I was just like, "Hey, y'all, like, for real, like, you know what I'm saying? Right, it's just a gift." And I'm like, and this is the season, like, this season right here is all about love anyway. So if you going out your way sweating and shaking and stuff like that, you can at least let her know, like, "You know what, I won't be able to get a gift because it's all about love." And not only that, I've heard women talk to me, say, "You know, I ain't getting my Christmas shopping yet. I don't know what I'm going to do." And I've heard plenty of coworkers, "I ain't did Christmas shopping." I'm like, man, y'all stressed about the wrong stuff, because this is something that you really shouldn't even be stressing about. Like, I mean, because if you really love a person, you will continue your life as normal. Now, if you don't give your gifts, if you're not giving gifts as normal, then that's a problem.
I'm always in the mindset that anyone who receives anything should be thankful for it. I don't care what it is that they receive, because you didn't have to receive in the first place.
Well, yeah, they should. They should be. You know, but like, are they?
Prime example, like, my family sometimes we can gag. And I'm supposed to travel gag. draw. I was geeked that I had socks and drawers.
He said it's a gag gift.
Yeah, it's a gag gift. Like,
oh, okay.
It's a gag gift, like, you know, here's some socks and drawers. Your boy was like, that?
Because the way I saw it was, that's one less thing for me to have to go out and get.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to receive nothing in the first place, but just to get something that I need, too. Hey, yo, that's one less thing I got to worry about going out to get. So...
And that's how it should be.
She looked at me. She was like, you really happy with that? I was like, man, yeah, I'm happy with anything I get because I didn't have to receive nothing in the first place. But outside of that, I need this stuff.
Hey, speaker, I want to see if these mics working. Let me hear you.
Got me.
Testing one, two.
All right,
let me hear you, Miss Kiki.
Test,
okay,
one, two.
Okay, working over here.
So that was the thing, man. Like, I couldn't believe that people really be sweating what they going to get. Like, if anybody, this is how I feel about something. If I give anyone anything and I feel like they're not grateful for receiving it, they won't ever receive nothing else again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that for me.
Let me see what John said. John said that stress is part of the pagan holiday.
Yep. I agree.
He said, oh.
Just another reason to spend money.
Oh, he looking at y'all. He said, oh, my two favorite villains in the building.
Yeah, you supposed to have been up here, John.
Yeah, man. I don't get it, man. Like, man, when Valentine's Day comes,
man. But they act like
I just seen men like almost have like a breakdown.
Bro, what kills me is they act like it's a different day or every year or something. It's the same day. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Why you can't prepare yourself for it? If you know you're gonna be that bugged out about it, why not prepare yourself for it?
Let me see what some of them.
Prince Wade, just like Mother's Day. Don't nobody be sweating on Mother's Day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mother's Day come around, you know it's the same time every year. You get your stuff together.
Let me see what some of them said something. Somebody said they was going to pray for me. Hold on. Let me see what she said. She said, I'm going to pray for you. Hold on. I'm trying. I asked her why she going to pray for me. Hold on. She was like, I'm going to pray for you respectfully, love. And I said, thanks for the prayers, but why do I need those?
Yeah.
She said, because you equate gifts. With spending, you equate gifts with spending lots of money, and that's not necessarily the case when it comes to a gift. True gifts come from the heart. I'm like, that ain't even nothing what I said.
Right.
All I was talking about was
the dude sweating.
Sweated, man. Just,
because
hey,
he worried about no gift.
He
worried about somebody's going to like what it is he's giving them. Just listen to that in context by itself. He is worried if someone is going to like something that he is giving.
Right.
Them.
Yeah. I just want to know what he looked like to make sure I don't know him.
Here she go. Oh, Lord.
What he looked like.
Shenanigans is, I mean.
You want to make sure she knows what she was doing.
Cat finish is already in full swing.
Look, I'm not expecting nothing.
Oh,
I'm not expecting anything, but I'm good with that.
But I say life is normal. It should be just life is normal.
It's like any other day.
We allow these holidays to overtake us. And that's the problem, though. We allow these holidays to overtake us.
When you're single, I don't think you should be expecting anything except from maybe your children.
Amen.
When you're in a relationship, it's kind of different. I think you kind of expect. Well,
birthdays. I celebrate birthdays.
All of that, though. But I get what you're saying, but I think when you're in a relationship, all of those holidays, that gifts and all this kind of stuff, I think that people start to expect things. And what I'm saying is expect something different. Give something different. Give something you didn't give last year. If that was your heart, give it this year. I mean, come
those
on
are
now.
Conversations, I also say those are conversations that expectations need to be founded on.
What about
you
the gift that keeps on giving? Love. What about that one? Give love.
But like you said, that come every day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. Like, I'm just one of those people that every day is, like, holidays don't, I don't get geeked over them anymore.
Well, you know
what I'm saying?
Since we talk about it, I'm going to say this too then. Okay, ladies. If we want to talk about gifts, let me put the camera back on me. If we want to talk about gifts, how come when your man give you a gift on Valentine's Day and Christmas, how come the same gift you give him is a tie and a coochie that he's been getting all year? Let's talk about that. Keith, you've been talking. Go ahead.
Sing it. Talk about it. Let's talk about it. I'm the same. Listen, If anyone has followed me ever, they know I'm consistent, if nothing else. So So I've always said this. I say men, we always get the back seat when it comes to everything. And when
right.
it comes to everything, Father's Day ain't nothing like Mother's Day. I used to get on my sisters about it. Hey, y'all done huddled up and went out and got mommy, whatever. I better not see one of y'all walk in here and get daddy a tie. It better not happen. Me and you going to have at it. Like, for real, because, you know, Mother's Day, it'd be this huge thing. This is the thing that killed me the most on Mother's Day. When Father's Day come around, you have mothers like, I'm the mother and the father. Well, you know, some single fathers out here. Don't nobody say we the father and the mother. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, I always say celebrate somebody who's being a man to that child then. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some man around that is giving that child some kind of toolage, you know what I'm saying? Some kind of manpower behind them so they understand what it is a man does and why, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't, I mean, you can't tell them you ain't got a brother or a friend that's just like a brother that they call Uncle Steve or Uncle Micah, Uncle Chris. You just somebody. There's the pastor. There's the deacon. There's, you know, Uncle Mark. You know what I'm saying? There's Paw. There's somebody. There's somebody out there. You know what I'm saying? So I always say we get the back seat when it comes to, and it's like we shouldn't expect more too. That's the killer for me. I'm a person that believes in being on an equal playing field.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you expect, that's what I expect.
Right.
Whatever it is you expect. So if you expect if you expect that Birkin bag, that Coach bag,
oh, I ain't ready for no Birkin bag.
You expect one of them trips. I'm expecting that for mine, too.
I need a blood sample for that Birkin bag. I need that blood sample. Yes, sir.
But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a person who's looking for that high-end gift,
yeah.
I'm expecting a high-end gift.
Yeah.
I'm expecting that. Don't have me going out here getting a $600, $700 bag or a $1,500 bag, and then my gift is a button-down shirt and some shoes.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, the thing is, I date the women, they give gifts according to their emotions. So if I'd have made them mad that week, you know, I'd be good, better off not even looking
that,
for nothing.
See, I'm glad you said that. I made a post, I want to say sometime this summer or early spring, and it said, if you really want to know how much somebody loves you, pay attention to how they treat you when they upset with you.
Right.
That tells it all.
Right.
That tells it all. I mean, you could be upset with me in the same house, but if you're still doing the same things you've been doing, you just might not be speaking to me as much.
Mm.
You give me a cold shoulder a little bit, but you're still doing like you're supposed to be doing. That person loved me the way they're supposed to love me.
Yeah, straight up.
But if I don't get none of that, I ain't getting none of that. Yeah.
It's a problem.
That means love is conditional. Love should never be conditional.
Man.
But when you are like that, are we cutting the cord? Why waste any more time?
That's my point. Hey,
we're cutting the cord because I've seen certain women post that as well on Father's Day. Well, I'm the father too. I just feel like that's a mindset thing, and we got to grow in mindset because. Even though you have some single women out here that are really single women and doing mother and father stuff, you ain't never heard it.
Right.
But on Father's Day, they might call their brothers or they might call their father. Happy Father's Day. Or they, their male
around.
Friends.
There's a man around.
Yeah, to
man,
say,
that man thing.
To say happy Father's
for
Day
those,
or to get
kids.
Them a little bit of something.
Yeah.
But we that's why I say we can't generalize women and men.
No, you have to separate.
Right. The kings and the queens.
I mean, listen, I'm glad you said that. Cause
the
I
lions,
the
lions, and the lambs.
All of it.
I say it all the time. I always say, you know, unfortunately, there's kings and queens, and also there's some court jesters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got some clowns out there.
Oh, straight up clowns. Clowns, buffoons, all day. What else going on in y'all world before we get started?
Oh, man, nothing going on with me. I'm just chilling.
I got something brewing. I don't want to talk about it just yet.
Oh,
I got to pass. It's confirmed. It's confirmed already. Today it got confirmed. But I mean, I won't talk about it just yet until I got dates and stuff for everybody. So check it out. But I'm gonna be.
How old girl doing?
Great.
Okay. That's
great.
Wow,
man. It's 3 years.
3 years. Oh, that's what's up. That's
yeah, I hear that. Keith is unavailable.
I've been on the phone for 3 years. Dog.
Right, all right, right. Because you already know the chicks, they be in the chat room.
Man,
who is he with the Michigan on? I look. They don't even look. They ain't never heard of Michigan day in their life. Oh, I love Michigan. That, what's that one quarterback? Oh, you know what I'm saying? They be on that.
Oh, man.
What's that Quinn quarterback? Yeah, that's him.
Oh,
that's him. He's my
man.
Favorite. They might think you play for the team.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, man, I've had that happen before, man. I always find it entertaining how people perceive you until they perceive you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It marvels me how people, they'll look at you and they'll say, they'll just think one way about you until they see you in that other light. When they see you in that other light, everything changes all of a sudden. And I just be like, that's why I don't like judging folks, man. That's the real reason I don't like judging. I always say I reserve my right to my opinion, but I don't like to judge nobody. I say I'll judge someone when they force me to have to judge them. Other than that, I don't like judging people because that's like it's so final. You hit the gavel, it's over with. That's the ruling. That's what it is. You know, when we all people, we're supposed to evolve. We all supposed to, you know, we're supposed to change. Like, I tell people, I try to change. I change on an hour if I can. I try to be a better person every hour.
All right, ringing. I thought that was me. Okay.
No, it's just some notifications over here.
Oh, okay.
That's all. You know, some sports notifications. You know, it's bowl season, so they're telling me who all winning and who losing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't start already. I thought they started next week.
Well, the bigger bowls is next week.
Next week, okay. Yeah,
yeah,
the little,
you know, you got the Liberty Bowl, you know, the Cotton Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and all that, yeah.
Well, who's supposed to be going to the Rose Bowl?
So, I don't know who's going to the Rose Bowl. I know, you know, the Final Four, obviously, is my Wolverines is in it.
I already know.
Then you got Georgia in it, Alabama in it, and Cincinnati. Them top four teams in college football.
They got no
so
Big
Cincinnati
Ten?
Play Bam. Yeah, Michigan's a the Big Ten. All
right, I got to block some trolls. All right, I think there's like a bot or something.
Trying to come in.
Yeah, you got to get blocked.
You know. But yeah, I'm
causing the stream. Actually,
I got some things going. Like, there's some things brewing, man, for the new year. For the new year. I'm excited about it. I'm geeked. Oh, I can't announce one thing. Me and my son going to do a show this year. It's going to start in the spring.
You supposed to do that a long time
ago.
Yeah,
but, you know, like, he at that age now where he ain't camera shy. You know what I'm saying? He's 16. So, I think this is the perfect time to really do it.
Oh, what grade he in now?
He a junior.
Oh, great time. Great
I know.
Time.
You know what I'm saying? So, we got some things going, though, man. He have ideas and stuff, and I want his ideas to be shared, you know what I'm saying? Because I know he ain't the only child to think this way, you know what I mean, or feel this way. Like, I think our youth really need to have more of a voice, and I think we as adults need to be more encouraging of that
voice. Is he into sports and things like that?
You know, this is the funny thing about it. My son, he is an athlete. The boy, I wish he just kept with baseball. He could pitch with both arms. He got control with the left. He got power with the right. He plays soccer. He dope. His footwork is on point. You know what I'm saying? But he don't want to be an athlete. My son is a nerd. And I'm cool with that, though. I'm real cool with that. My son, you know, about that computer. Like, he already know how to code. Dude, he's already made, like, 6-7 video games. He's made 6-7 video games on the computer already. So, like, I'm pushing him that point. Like, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, we sent them to Purdue. They have a tech camp every summer.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
it. They haven't had it in the last couple of years because of COVID. His first year going, he was the most outstanding camper. So I was like, all right, that's $3,000 worth it. $3,000 was worth it. So I told him, every year you want to go, I'm going to send you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So and to his credit, he's been locked in on it. Like, he's good at it. You know what I'm saying? So he's always been a good student. So I'm super proud of my son. I always have been.
And you know what I think that's important too for our kids is to allow them to do things that they're interested in, because you know a lot of times kids had they had that fire about something and then say you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that.
Stepped on.
Yeah.
You know, because they were too ignorant to have that blot of a mind to just. I always say this. What if
What if Michelle Obama mama stepped on her goals and aspirations?
She would have never married Barack.
She would have never even made it to Harvard.
Harvard, that's where she graduated? Okay.
So, I mean, like, you know, like, they'd have never got to that point. You know what I mean? So she probably would have been a manager at TJ Maxx. Just think about that for a moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of the most impactful people in our time would have never been, all because somebody stepped out the fire in a dream before it even, you know, came alight. So I always say, you never know. You want to encourage, like, if your child comes to you with something and you think it's far-fetched, who's to say it's far-fetched? You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan thought think about it. Michael Jordan is, in my opinion, the greatest basketball player who ever played. This man got cut as a freshman in high school.
Yep.
He could just done it. It'd have been over with right there. Somebody could have said, hey, Mike, you short, man. You're supposed to be playing the sport anyway. Go back to baseball. You know what I'm saying? And he might have been an okay baseball player who made it to college to play baseball and then became a mathematic, you know, in finance or something, because that's what he took up in college. And we'd have never had the greatest basketball player of all time as Michael Jordan. But he stayed with it, and somehow, some way, God decided, okay, since you stayed with it, you're going to be 6'6", and the rest of your family be like 6'1". You know, it's crazy. You just never know. You never know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You never know.
Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, those are the guest co-hosts we got in the building tonight. My girl Kiki and Keith Omar in the building. We're going to go ahead. Oh, man, I see Zerubbabel Lewis is in the backstage. But we're going to go ahead and open up this discussion tonight real quick so we can let these heavy hitters back in, let them back in. But tonight, we wanted to discuss very briefly our topic, which is, should the church – I'm about to put the topic back up there just so you can see it. There it is. Should the church teach sex education? And this is very important that we had this discussion because, let me see, I think Monday night I was sitting in the car with Kiki, and we were sitting there talking, rapping about some things, and I think we got on the topic of, we was talking about something about sex, and she was saying, well, you know, I can't really say that on the program or something like that, because she was like, because of my ministry. And then, you know, and when she said that, it took me back to a conversation that my boy King Dwayne was having with me in the inbox. And I was too busy that day because I was trying to pack up so I could fly back here to Indianapolis. And he had said something about, man, these goofy pastors and preachers and churches, they need to really be the ones to teach these kids and the people that don't know about sex. And I was like, I'm going to get back to that when I get a chance, but I'm busy right now. I got to finish doing what I got to do. I was like, but he just struck something in me. So when I had that conversation with Keanu on Monday, that's what really made me, I was like, that's it, that's going to be my topic, because this is a conversation to be had, because there are parents that is ill-equipped to really teach their children about sex. Now, you know, we're not saying that they fault anything, because, you know, if they don't know, send it to somebody that do. And so we say it as a resource. And in our community, especially the Black community, a secondary resource we have next to the library, that's a resource. We also have the Black church. And so we want to ask, you know, should they be teaching it? Now, for this discussion, I invited plenty of pastors to come out. Only two responded. One of them, he said he was not suited for this conversation. He was saying his assistant pastor, she never ever responded back to the message I was tagged in. The other pastor is my boy, Pastor G. I don't have his comment up on the screen, but I'll go ahead and read you his comments. He really wanted to be here tonight, but he was not. He said his schedule would not allow him to. But he was writing some comments to me in the inbox. He said, I'm not clear on the topic, though. We don't have sex education in church. Do we talk about sex in church? Of course we do. Sermons on David and Bathsheba are a dime a dozen. But what do you mean by church sexual? So I got back with him, and he got back to me. He said, I'm going to check and see my availability. He said, but note that I don't think it's the church's, more the school's responsibility to discuss sex with anyone's child. It's the parent's responsibility. If I were a parent, I would be upset if the church discussed something with my child either before I did or without my consent due to the varying degrees of understanding on the subject. So I hope you get my drift. We can talk about it, but I don't see it as a role of the church to play in the life of a child who has responsible parents. Now, the truth is that most learn from none of these, parents, church, or school. They learn from most experimentation, friends, music, and TV. So that, to me, is the real truth, but I'm not sure you want to discuss that part. Absolutely. I totally agree what he's saying. He made some very valid points where he said, about the parents of the child that has responsible parents. Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, that's what I was telling them in the inboxes that, as far as parents being the first teachers, that's right. They are the first teachers. Those are the ones that should. But we know that's not what's going on. Like you said, TV, school, experimentation, that's what's teaching them. But we know there's a lot of kids that go to church. We also know there's a lot of young people that's being turned away from the church. And some of the reasons I've spoken to young people, ask them, why is it that you are being turned away from church? Well, they say, well, there's nothing in church that appeals to me. All my pastor do is preach holiness, holiness, holiness. But, there's more than just holiness that's going on in the world. We have all these different types of pressure and temptation that is bothering us, sex temptation, alcohol temptation. One little girl, she told me, well, I don't say little girl, she a young adult in college. She said, I'm in college. She said, I can't be, I'm being tempted every day about drinking alcohol, but when I take it to the church, I'll talk to the Lord about it. No one there to really walk her through the steps, walk her through the process. So that's why we're having this discussion tonight is, not just should the church be teaching sex education, but if the schools is teaching these things to our kids, why not the church? You got people in California, they teaching kids about being transgender. Why the hell would you be teaching a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old about being transgender and they ain't got a clue? They don't even have a clue what sex is even all about. Their brain ain't even developed yet, but you up here reading little books talking about transgender. That's really a shame. So, if the schools is out here, indoctrinating our kids' minds, why wouldn't the church be out here doing the same thing on a positive level, teaching them what is supposed to be right? So right now I'm going to turn the camera and I'm going to let the co-host holler at you for a minute. Whoever wants to start.
Hold on.
All right, now go ahead. So, me and Tyron did have a conversation about that, and I am in ministry. I do believe that it is not the responsibility of the church. Mm-hmm. However, we know where the responsibility lies, mm-hmm. and that is first in the home. I will say this. I don't think it's a bad idea, but you have to be careful with that, mm-hmm. because a lot of times you don't know what people believe. You don't know their belief system. And so if you are a pastor, assistant pastor, or whoever, or clergyman that you would have in place to speak to children about this, first of all, yes, it would be the consent of the parents. Second of all, I want to know what you know before you teach my child anything.
Right.
So you have to take that responsibility back off of the church. Yes, as a resource, it would be nice, but you just don't know, and you have to be careful about who is standing in front of your children, whether it is a pastor, whether it is a teacher, whether it is even you.
I agree.
You have to be careful. So the thing is this. Pastor G made some very, 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 very good points when it comes to that. But I will say in ministry, you have to be careful, because if the church does open that line of communication and we are speaking to children about sex, how far are you going into the sex atmosphere that does not, how can I put this, to still be in the right of an actual conversation? Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. Tyron, you brought up a good point about talking to a young lady that's in college that is tempted every day. And I only know because I have college children. My mind at that to still be in ministry. Now, what I don't do is I don't talk to my kids and say, you got to pray. Now, I will tell them this. I will say you have to build a relationship with God. That relationship is for you and God. Because you're old enough. Mm-hmm. However, if I'm sitting on the phone with my kids, I sit on the phone and I pray with them. And then I give them a talk as well as firm Kiana the Heat. And sometimes they be sitting on the phone like, Mama. And I be like, listen, I know I'm firm. I said, I just want you to understand that there will be all kinds of temptation. Right. And temptation even hits me.
Hits everybody.
So it's going to hit you.
Right.
I'm just here to tell you how to deal with it. So the thing is, I'm kind of biased when it comes to that. I wish we could create a resource that if you're not getting that in the home and you're not getting it from school, but you may be getting it from one area from school, but how in the world, if you did that, how would you do it? How far of a conversation would you have with these children in reference to sexual education? I'm good.
All right, so my take from it is this. To me, it boils down to how much do you truly love and trust your church? That's what it boils down to me. You know what I'm saying? Because now I feel like if we have sexual education, I believe this has come from a pastor's son of over 30 years. You know what I'm saying? So, it's probably as long as I can remember, my father has been a reverend, you know? So he's been an ordained minister as long as I can probably remember. As a child, I remember like 2 and 3 years old being behind a nightstand acting like I was preaching. So, I mean, I don't too many people know church like I know church. I know church, the background of the church, you know, what you don't get to see in the office. And I know church, as I call it, the show, what you get to see on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? It's two different parts of church to me. You got the business aspect of it, and, you know, I don't want to say dark, but the business aspect of, that,
yeah.
aspect of it, you know what I'm saying? And then you got what you see, the finished product, the show on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? So don't too many people know church like I know it. I got a very unique understanding of church. So I think it's a wonderful idea for them to have sex education. I think it needs to be done responsibly, though. It needs to be done with people. I feel like this. If your pastor can give you premarital advice, you go to counseling to this person. Why can't they to your child about sex education? Now, if they don't feel comfortable enough to do that, or they don't feel like that's something that they should be translating, then what I feel like is they should bring somebody in, bring an expert in, have a conversation with them. There's a bunch of college professors and stuff that would love to come in and talk to you about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a lot of people who do podcasts about stuff like this all the time. You know, bring them into the church. Have a conversation with them. I would do an open conversation with the parent first so you get an idea how that structure of that household is, because based off the structure of the household, it's going to be a good idea what you might get or might not get out of the child. Like, I wasn't a child who spoke my mind, because my house it was a dictatorship. My father made sure that you understood he's the head honcho. You know what I'm saying? hey, I pay the cost to be the boss here. You do what you want to do when you get your own place, when you able to do for yourself. Until then, things are ran a certain way here. So, you know, I didn't grow up feeling like I really had a voice to say, hey, mom or dad, X, Y, and Z. I didn't feel that way. So when I got all on my own, I realized, oh, dog, you got a voice. You need to use it. You know what I'm saying? It took me a long time to figure that out. So I would have never, you could have, they'd have never got nothing out of me. I'd have probably went to the class. But they'd have never got me to speak up in class or nothing like that. And I think, you know, these experts, if they went and saw it, you spoke to the parents first, you get an idea how that household is ran. Then you know what approach you need to take so you can get that child to open up to you, so you can actually give that child something that they need. You know, I just think it needs to be done the responsible way. I totally agree with, you know, you can't speak to my child about sex or anything for that matter without me knowing how you're going to approach it. That's just like college. I got to see your curriculum. So when my son start going to college tours, guess who's going to be going to college tours with him? You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is, you know, because I need to understand how your curriculum's going to be, especially if you do, if he does religious studies. I don't care if it's just for one semester. I got to check that professor out, because I know there's professors out here who try to break people's religion. Mm. They literally, that's their goal. I've seen it with my own eyes in class. You have college professors out here that try to break people's religion because they might not believe in religion. They may not believe in religion at all, but they're teaching it because they know about it. You know what I'm saying? But that don't mean they're a believer. And because you're a believer and they don't believe, they'll try to break your will. I've seen it happen. It's like I had to break down a professor.
That happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I had to break down a professor one time. He was trying to break this girl's religion down, and I was like, well, who are you to say it shouldn't be? So he looked at me, you know, he tried to challenge me. You can't, look, let me explain something. You can't challenge Pastor Jackson's son to no conversation like that. Because I'm going to believe what I'm believing. You ain't going to be able to change that. It's already there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe. And it's fine. We can agree to disagree all day, every day. I ain't got no problem with that either. But what you're not going to do is you're not going to challenge me and not have a valid point of why you should challenge it. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to understand who's coming in to teach. That's all. Like, so it boils down to me is, how much do you truly love and cherish and have trust in your church? Mm. Because if you there, that means you're getting fruit. And it got to be good fruit if you're growing.
Right.
So why would you not want them to come in and bring that aspect, especially since you have a lot of parents who don't know how to translate messages? That's another thing. Like, we as parents don't know how to translate. Like, I'm going to sit here and say it right now. Me, my son's 16 now. I would not know how to have that conversation with him right now. And me and my son got a pretty good relationship.
I was about to ask you after you had that talk with him.
Hey, come on now. You know me. I'm upfront, brother.
I know you're going to have to talk with him.
But but at the same time, I am not going to sit him down to have the conversation.
I want him to come to me with it. Okay.
Because my son understands that I can ask daddy anything. He knows this. My son knows it. There's certain conversations we have had way earlier than probably what we should have had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But that's because his mind was curious. And I'd rather him get it from me than go get it from some clown on the street that don't know half of what I know. You know what I'm saying? So
Then what if you get a conversation of people who actually don't, because a lot of us as parents, we live a different life inside the home versus when we go to church. I mean, let's just be honest.
But that's the whole thing.
Some of these pastors are calling themselves and haven't been called by God.
That's why I said it's a fine line.
Yeah. And that's why I said you would, like you said, it would have to be responsible. But mm-hmm. you would have to have a relationship to understand that where this pastor is coming from as well. And then my question is, what do we still have Boys and Girls Club here, and what are they doing?
You know what? Let me explain something. That's another thing. Those programs have been defunded.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of that no more.
Okay.
Like, remember, when we were kids, we used to be able to go to Salvation Army, yeah. Boys and Girls Club. We had rec centers. I ain't never heard of a rec center. Like, I ain't heard of nothing about a rec center in almost 20 years. Right. We used to have a rec center. Like, basically, a rec center had a little bit of everything.
that could entertain you for 2 hours outside of after 5 o'clock. So from school to about 7 o'clock, you was at the rec center if you ain't had nowhere to go. Like, I remember when I was in college, man, I'm so proud of these boys now because they've grown up to be solid young men, and all of them been to college too. Even the ones that you didn't you didn't have a hope for, they went to college. They might not have finished, but they went. So they got good sense. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I remember, I'm going to go ahead and say their name, and if they ever get to see this, I know they're going to be like, dang, OG Keith's going to call me out. You know what I'm saying? So I remember one time there's a dude named Terrence and another cat named Lawrence. And they would come to Rec Center all the time. And they was kind of troubled kids, but they were good kids. They just didn't have no guidance. You know what I'm saying? Mom was working 2 or 3 jobs, busting her tail to try to get the best for them, you know? So they ain't had nobody to grab them by the shirt, back of the collar, and be like, hey, you got to straighten out. You got to do this and that. So I saw something in them. I don't know what it was. The good Lord put them in front of me. I went on and, hey, I need to see y'all here every day. If y'all ain't walking through this door by 3:15, I'm come look for you. So they was like, really? Yeah, I'm going to come look for you. You try me if you think so. I won't. Okay. So maybe about 2 weeks later after I tell them that, they didn't show up to the rec center. I asked one of the girls, her name was Taja. Taja, what's up with T and Lawrence? I saw them, last time I saw them, they was out with, I ain't going to say the cat name, with some cat who ain't about the right. Okay, hey, tell Miss Nancy I'll be back. I should be gone no more than an hour. I hopped in the truck, went looking for them through the city. I find them on the corner with this cat. I'll pull up, 1 and 2. Y'all come on with me. Dude looked at me like, who is you? I said, hope that you never have to find out. Straight up. I told him flat out, just like that. Hope that you never have to find out. Y'all come on. Y'all know what this is? Hey, man, we see you later on, man. Nah, you ain't going to see them later on. You ain't going to see them later on. Because if you see them later on, you're going to find out who I am. I was like, hey, man, I ain't here to punk nobody or none of that. But these two, they off limits.
Yeah.
They are. These two is off limits. Some of these other ones, I don't know.
Yeah.
But these two, they off limits.
You got to let them know.
I told them.
We got a lot of people. We got a lot of people in the building trying to get in.
Yeah.
But first, before we do, man, we got somebody done bugged my page. somebody done bugged this stream. Yeah, because it's clowning. It's like I'm getting a lot of little bots and stuff coming in, saying little stuff like right here. Here go a little bot right here talking about some stripping, and I keep trying to block them. Every time I keep trying to block them, I blocked that one. That one got blocked. And then they even turned my camera off. So yeah, because people in the chat talking about they can't see us. It's somebody that done bugged me real good. But that's
somebody
cool because the show gonna go on anyway. Ain't nobody tripping. We just every time
ain't
I see you,
you
just
show.
Gonna get blocked. Every time I see you come through, we blocking. And then I'm gonna have a little talk with YouTube. Like, hey, YouTube, y'all got to get this straight. But anyway, I had a question. What if the parents, if they have like what you call a childproof curriculum where they let the parents know what's going to be discussed, like get them literature, and they say also they want the parents to sit there in the class with them, so the parents can walk through it with them.
No, see, I discourage that. Me personally, I would discourage that, bringing the parent in.
That might be uncomfortable for the child.
Might be uncomfortable for the child. Because okay,
see, the thing is, it's to give the child the education.
Okay.
Obviously, the parent is being educated because, you know, the little dude or the little young lady, they're there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The child is there, so the parent should be educated at this point. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't need you there because let's call it for what it is. When you sit a child down and they got their parents there, there's certain questions that ain't going to be asked.
Yeah.
That normally would be asked.
That's right. Yep.
That's why I think it should be layers to this. It should be... You have something for, like, you have the curriculum for the parents. You have the parents have an input on the curriculum.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Hey, you know, these are some of the things that we feel like might be comfortable in having the conversation about. And you also should have stages of this.
You should have something for preteens. You should have something for teens.
Right, right.
And you should have something for young adults.
Make it age appropriate for everybody.
Exactly.
You know?
So now it's not just a 1 or 2 year thing. This is gradually growing you through your whole adolescence to an adulthood, early adulthood. That's the responsible way. So now you don't run around here and have out of wedlock children as much. You know what I'm saying? Because we know it has a lasting effect in our community. We know it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be positive or negative, it has a lasting effect though. Because I'm a 70s child. I was born in 74. So I remember a time where, like, I didn't start having majority of my friends not have both parents in the household until I was, like, a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember as a child, majority of my friends had both parents in the household. They were married. Not to say it's bad that you have children and you're not married. I'm not saying that, but let's just call it for what it is. If you're more liable to have success with both parents in a household.
Okay.
Versus having two households, because now you have two different rules.
I think there's John right here. Let me bring John in. Let's see. Go ahead, John.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. Hey. What up, bro?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What up?
Hey. Y'all, forgive my absence, man. I had a lot going on, moving into a house, had a positive COVID result, so I had a lot going on, and I've been missing, you know what I'm saying, being on the show. But
we understand, bro.
I agree with a lot of y'all said, you know, I grew up in the church as well and got to see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. But like Kiki said, I need to know what you know. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I feel more comfortable personally leading by example. You know what I mean? Now, I wouldn't have a problem with them being in that type of program, but they would have to have learned from me first. You know what I'm saying? My son, you know, he's out the house now, he's dating or whatever, but I led by example with him. I remember one time, and we never really had a sex talk, but he came to me and he said, "Dad," he said, "you drop me off over this, you know, the shorty's house right here." Woo, woo. I said, "Okay, I'll give you a ride. I got you." So we ride. I said, "Man, you got your pocket knife on you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You got your cell phone charged up?" He said, "Yeah." We get to the house. I said, "Wait a minute, man." I said, "You got some condoms on you?" He said, "You know what? I might need some of those." I said, "Man, let's go to the gas station and get some condoms, man." So he kind of knew what the deal was without me having that talk. He knew what he needed. You know what I'm saying? I need to be able to find you. I need you to have something with you where you can protect yourself in a case of a deadly threat. And I need you to be able to protect yourself intimately, you know what I'm saying, sexually.
Right.
You know what
I
mean? And leading by that kind of example, I think it needs to come from the home first, especially father. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, there's got to be some kind of positive male figure around. You know, I remember Thanksgiving, by the time we were driving, my uncles had my younger cousins in the back room poster boards showing them pictures of STDs and general warts. You know what I'm saying?
Get a mess out of them. I remember them.
So I just think, you know what I'm saying? It needs to come from the home first. Like Kiki said, I need to know what you know. We might be on the same level spiritually, but other than that, we might have some different opinions about things. You know what I'm saying? So I just think it needs to come from the home first.
Absolutely. That's why I say it needs to be done responsibly, though. Like, I feel like it should be held just like, a classroom. Like, hey, look, this is the curriculum. This is how we plan on approaching it. And get parents' input.
Somebody certified, like a biologist.
Yeah, like I said, bring somebody in, a specialist for that. Like, you mean to tell me out of all the resources the church have, they don't have nobody that can do that?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you mean to tell me you can't go to the health clinic and bring somebody in to do a workshop for you?
Well,
like,
that has to be, you know, that has to be an actual conversation, because the conversation then will have to be pay.
Well, but see, it not really, because a lot of these people would do it.
Yeah, yeah, they do exit
some people
free
will.
Clinics, yeah.
Some people will, but if it's a lasting thing.
Oh, yeah,
If I'm coming in every month, mean, come on now.
Yeah,
Everybody's not just volunteering
for the
church.
But this is my belief. My belief has always been this, and my father has always told me this. If the church is doing right, you ain't got to worry about the financial wealth. If the church is doing right, finances is never an issue. You can always get funding if the church. Put it this way, you love your church. I always ask people. That's the first thing I ask them when they ask me, "Hey man, you should come to my church. Do you love your church? Yeah. How much do you love your church? Are you willing to finance a program at your church if they ask you to? And if I get somebody look at me sideways, then I can't come to your church. You won't even believe. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. Why am I coming and you don't believe it?
Hey, thanks for the call, John. We got to move on to the next.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mr. D.
Mr. D. It's been a while.
Go ahead,
what's
Mr.
up
D.
there, boss? Hey, how's it going,
hey,
man? I'm sitting here looking at my 3D screen, and it's all I can do to hold myself back. Kiki don't look so good, girl. You know I'm 300 years old. hey, what's up, Kiki? How's it going?
What up, man?
I need to holler at your boy, John, and tell him happy belated birthday. Now John can't go in the under 21 club now. Hey, but straight up, man, I'm going to tell you straight from the mule. Here you go. Now, this is some old flavor right here. With me being 300 years old and I'm European, I think the church should, if these pastors run around here, they should get with their congregation and have a panel discussion. You know, let the congregation know, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. This is what we need to do. Because if they do that, right, Big J, if they do that, they won't have so many young girls sitting in the pews with the fire truck behind them. I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
See, a lot of streetwise guys know the best to get ain't the street, but it's to go to the church. That's where it's best at. That's where it's unblemished. That's where you go and you spit your game to them. And forgive me for saying the truth, but a lot of young women in church are airheads. You know, and the streetwise guy can come in there, spit that game to him, march him right out the door to Dairy Queen, and watch out of Motel 8. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, the church should talk to him about it. But the church needs to talk to their congregation first and get their congregation in check first and let them know, this is my plan. I want to do this because we might have some young ladies out in the pew that's sitting like Sunday go to meeting and burning like a house. You see what I'm
not
saying?
Not just young ladies. You got these young boys.
Well, they got to teach the boys, too, because, see, that's why you have the pastor have a discussion with the whole church to get things right.
I totally agree. It needs to be done responsibly. That's my whole thing. You know, I don't mind the idea of the church doing it. I actually encourage the idea of the church doing it. Because I feel like the parents, they have more parental guidance at the church to see what's really going on at the church. You got access. You got more access at the church than you do at the school.
Okay, here's where I'm stumping at. This is where I'm stumping at.
Uh-huh.
The church, they have everything at church that they really, I don't think they're supposed to have. They have politics meeting in the church. They have singles meeting in the church. Why do they have singles meeting? Because some of them out there ready to kick it and hit it. they got the singles getaway and all of that. And you've basically got everything else. You've got the politicians coming in the church talking. Why not? You got the health aides coming in there talking about C-19 and all of that.
Yeah.
Why not have that up where you can talk to the congregation about fixing they you know, talking to their kids. Because I'm going to tell you, right, statistics is here on the Far East Side. They said that chlamydia. Now, I'm about to hurt myself and get out of here and drink a Pepsi. They said on the Far East Side of Indy, chlamydia and that biblical thing they call syphilis and gonorrhea, better known as Sodom and Gomorrah, is floating heavy over here on the east side, chlamydia. You've got 12, 13, 14-year-old kids that's walking around on fire like that. And the reason why some of them are walking around on fire is their parents are not parents, but their parents are trying to be their friend. Now, I'm 100% about the – I'm 100% for the daddy or the uncle, if he's around, being the dictator of the house. Yeah, it's going to be this way, and that's it. If it ain't going to be this way, start stepping. I got your clothes already packed at the door. You know, that's the way it's going to be.
Yes, sir. That was my part.
There's no – If they took a survey, and, you know, a lot of doctors will not allow the parents in the room while they're examining the kids if the kids are over 6, you know, or over.
Yeah.
They'll put them outside because they know the kids ain't going to be honest with the parents in there because they'll get fired upside the head. So, you know, if they took a survey, they find out that a whole lot of these girls in the churches, apostolic, Baptist, non-denominational, you call it. A lot of these girls in the church that are looking like they're virgins and not doing anything and so sweet and lovable angels sitting in the pew, a lot of them have already been around the mulberry bush, and some of them, before they get to the age of 16, got more mileage on them than my tires got. Yeah, the pastor should get with the congregation and talk to them about it. Hey, man, I'm going to go find this pest before I get knocked in the head.
All right, now.
All right. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, the number is at the bottom of the screen, area code 323-870-4617. I see my boy Zerubbabel. He left out. He said he'll be right back. So we'll sit back, wait on him. And I think probably King Dwayne, he might be making his way in at some point. But yeah, man, great discussion, Keith. For real, if the church can teach all this other stuff,
why not
do that? But I'm with y'all, though, for real. Like, I got to see the curriculum.
Yeah.
You know, so I got to see what you're going to talk about, who are the ones that's going to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What's the background? Yeah, we're going to have this little relationship. Yeah. So when the child come back to me and say something out of the way, then I know where it came from.
Right. And better yet, I know how he or she perceived it, because you got to remember, they still adolescents. They don't have the train of mind. They don't have the trained thought to pick up on certain key words and understand them the way we do as adults. You know what I'm saying? Like a sentence. Perfect example. A sentence was said to me. I think about things my father. You know, bless his soul. I think about things my father has told me when I was 19 and 20 that I really didn't get. That right now I totally understand, and he was so right. He was so right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I totally get it. You know, I was 19 and 20. At 19 and 20, I was pretty mature at 19 and 20. But I didn't get what he was saying. It was just like, okay. But when 32 came around, I got it.
Yeah, that's what happened with me.
I got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I totally get it now, Dad.
I want to ask Kiki, though.
Yeah.
Have you ever, which do you feel comfortable doing? Do you feel comfortable having that talk with your girls or your boys?
For me, neither. I don't like to.
I love that answer.
And the reason, well.
Have you ever had to have that conversation?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I've actually had to hear too much that I didn't want to hear. So in saying that, I have, and I'm going to tell you like this. My kids used to tell me, Mama, we can't tell you nothing. And I was a mother that they could not. Listen, I was a mother that they could not tell me anything.
He did what to you? He tried to pull out words.
Listen. They were just like, you just too strict. But that's how I was raised.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's certain things my mother don't know to this day, and I'm 43.
Ain't gonna know.
But what I'm saying is, I've in these past 3 years, I have had to have deep conversations that I thought I wouldn't have to have. But my kids, I am glad that I have them, but my kids also have communication with their father. And this is why I say, as parents, when you co-parent, sometimes even as parents, you co-parent, y'all ain't on the same level.
Hey, so not.
So,
two different chapters.
So
yeah, sometimes two
you
different
have
facts,
two,
facts.
And two different things, because you may have a father that tells his son, "I'll go on and go out there and be all a, get all in it right now." And then,
Soul attachment, listen,
that thing is
soul attachment.
That thing
is
deep.
Right up.
That thing is deep.
Soul
and you
attachments
don't,
are real.
You don't want to be dealing with no.
You ain't got
past.
A soul. You ain't got a soul, but it, you don't got a soul because you done lost it somewhere. That's what you let me dive on that real quick. So one of the young men I was telling y'all about earlier, you know, that I have to go get. I'm proud of these boys. The two I was talking about, they both graduated. One's an engineer and one is a IT professional. You know what I'm saying? I love these boys. They hit me up to their credit. They hit me up probably like once every other month. To their credit, still to this day. All right, so
They didn't really hear your story because that was when one of these little bites set my camera off.
So what happened is I went to go. I pulled up on the corner on you know. Hey, y'all know me, so you know.
I already know.
I pulled up on the corner, one and two. Come on, let's go. So dude, looking like, who is you? I was like, man, if you happen to know it, I said, hope that you have never happened to know. Hope you never happen to know. My concern is with them.
Key was,
I ain't trying to shut nothing down that you got going on.
Key was Nino.
Hey, I ain't trying to shut nothing down with the Michigan on.
Look.
I ain't trying to shut nothing down with what you got going on. But them two can't be involved.
Right.
I just have to let them know that. Hey, bro, I'm not here to have a pissing match or none of that.
But these two got to go.
But these two can't be on this corner with you.
Yeah.
In fact, when you see them, you turn them away. I told them, when you see them, you turn them away. They need to be at the rec center at 3:15 every day. Unless it's Saturday or Sunday, they need to be there at 3:15 every day. And if they're not, I'm coming on these streets to look for them. I straight up told them. I told them that 2 weeks ago.
That was in Chi-Town or
this
here?
I was on my second state of college at Ball State. In
Muncie. Oh, okay.
These two coming with me.
They get down like that in Muncie? Oh, man.
They get down like that everywhere.
That's a college
everywhere.
Town.
They get down like that. That's the reason why you can pop off. Think about it.
Yeah, facts. Yep.
So
yep.
My man kind of looked at me like, I was like, look, man, I ain't here to try to shut down none of what you got going on. That's not my concern. I don't care about that. But them two can't be involved in it. As long as they're going to be involved, then I'm going to have to care about it. Which one would you rather have? Not have to deal with these two?
Well, I got to deal with you.
You know you're going to have to deal with me. You know I'm here right now. He could do it, and he understood that. Like, to his credit, I know this cat. I see him from time to time still. He ain't what he used to be. I can't say that. But to his credit, he didn't try to power up on me. You know what I'm saying? Because it was going to be a problem. Serious. It was going to be a problem if he did. The streets was going to be ours that day.
Keep on here talking. Hold on, Keith.
I am riding with you. Now, I would hate for somebody to be said.
Yeah, I know, Keith, because I mean, was you strapped? We're going to be talking about it.
Come on, man. We're going to talk about it, but
I'm saying you talking strong, and I'm with you.
Hey, listen.
But he got his homies, though. Make sure you strap.
Listen. I'm always with 12 disciples. I'm always with 12 disciples.
Man,
I'm going to say it like that.
Say no more.
You know what I'm saying? So your boy going to be covered where
man,
we go.
You talking strong. Your boy going to be covered.
But my whole thing is, I told him, I was like, hey, man, I ain't trying to punk. I ain't trying to do none of that. I respect that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm a kid from the hood. I ain't going to say I'm a street dude. I'm not going to say that. I know the street game, though.
Right.
Because my brother the street. Like, you can't get no streeter than that.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Same as mine.
So, I mean, seriously, it can't happen. It just really can't happen. So when you attach that close, you learn, you get two educations. You get an education from the street, you get an education to say, your butt better not be doing none of this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to show you how to do this because you might be in a position where you might have to know it. But you better don't ever let me catch you doing X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I was more scared of my brother than my parents. Like, straight up. You know, like, for real. Like, my brother found me doing something crazy. Man, dude. Because we was going to have to square up. He was gonna, my brother 8 years older than me. I mean, 6 years older than me. He was going to make me swear up.
Because he knew the street game more than you, and he probably didn't want you out there.
That's the point.
That's
you know
what
I'm saying?
That's my
the
brother.
Point.
Yeah, he don't want to be out there.
My brother would make me swear. So I was never scared of, like, hands was never an issue for me. I ain't never been scared of nobody putting no hands up. Come on, we can handle that. That's never been a problem for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got my hands is nice. My hands is nice.
Right there, but
you know
what I mean?
We
know them
nice.
Boys ain't
I know how to catch a fade. My hands is nice.
But them boys ain't doing hands.
Yeah, but see, I ain't never been afraid of that, too. Because I done told somebody once before, a long time ago, you think they stopped making guns when they made tours? You think they stopped when they made tours? I can prove you wrong. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go there, though. Because that... When you start doing that, it's a life and death situation now. Like I grew up in a gun environment. Like my grandparents' house, it was a gun behind every door. Literally, I'm not joking.
Most definitely,
it was a gun behind every door in the house.
That's the case you need to grab one.
Right,
yep.
It's a gun behind every door in the house. It's a gun on the side of the refrigerator. Like, seriously, I'm not playing. This is not, so I grew up in a gun culture. I know what that is. And then you know when you have a brother who's a super thug. You know what I'm saying? You get to see that on a daily basis, how that work out. Like, my brother been out of house since he's been 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
he ain't never came back.
And never came back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My brother at 14, 15 years old, the police knew him well. And the police didn't even test him at 14 and 15.
They ain't test him?
No, because they already knew what he's about.
Okay.
They know what he's about.
That was Chi-Town.
Yeah, you know. And we talking about the 80s when the gangs came up strong. So, you know, they knew what he's about. They knew what my brother was about. You know what I'm saying?
Let me read some of these comments real quick. John, he making the comments. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. We got John. We got King Dwayne was in there. We got Mr. D.
Yeah.
Let me see. John say, it's definitely something the church should discuss and vote on first. Absolutely. Let me see. He says there's a lot of things young people should know before sex, hygiene, manners. Absolutely. What else he got going on? Oh, he's laughing there too. He said 12 disciples, 20 disciples, however many you can hold.
Absolutely. That's my point.
Man, I'm telling you,
I've been taught by the best. Like I always say, I've been taught by the best. Between my grandfather, my father, and my brother, when it comes to handling something, hey, man, I know how to handle it. Anybody who know me, they know me. Like, my reputation is solid because I'm consistent. I'm the same dude all the time. You ain't going to never get too different with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm the same dude all the time. So the way I handle things, when it came to something like that, when I was 21, it's the same way I handled it at 31. It's the same way I handled it at 41. I'm going to handle it the same way when I'm 51. You know what I'm saying? But because I understood, hey, when it's time to start pulling out what you tuck, that means it's a funeral going to happen. Like, that's how I grew up. You don't play. There ain't no such thing as you flashing. It's a business decision once you do that. It's a business
what
decision.
What they say, rather be judged by 12 than be carried
by
six.
Absolutely. it's a business decision when you do that. And the question is, who gonna walk out with the best deal? You know, the person who walk out the best deal is the one who walk away. I'm always being taught, make sure you the one that walked away. If we gotta get lawyers and stuff for the rest of it,
yeah,
that's fine. But make sure you're the one that walks away.
Let me see, Mr. D. He said church is to teach you life, and sex is life.
Life.
That's what I'm saying.
Where
like,
do
not
these little Christians come from?
What about here go another thing? I'm gonna ask everybody. I ain't gonna single nobody out. But what you think about homemade? Because some of these ladies,
Some of these ladies, I done dated a few, they don't know how to boil an egg.
They know. They DoorDash real good.
And the thing is, yes, the parents are supposed to be your first teacher, but the reality is
some of
these parents
don't
know. Not doing it.
Some of, well, first, let me say something else, too, because you can attest to this. A lot of these parents don't have the time because a lot of these parents now are single.
Right.
They don't have, like I said, we don't have two parents in the household no more. That's like, two parents in the household is so uncommon nowadays. It's ridiculous. Like, two parents in the household is so uncommon. So you got one parent in the household raising, let's say, raising three kids. That one parent, one job ain't handling it, all those bills and the three kids. That means he or she got to have something else going on. That means their time is devoted to something else outside of parenting because they're trying to provide. They can't be parents because they're providers. That's the problem. And that's why I said I think this is a really good thing for churches to do, but they have to be responsible in doing so. Because if you can slow down teen pregnancies,
right.
You know what I'm saying? That gives that teen who becomes now not a teen but more of a young adult a better chance at being a productive adult versus a provider.
Let me ask you this real quick, and I'm going to read these comments and bring Dwayne in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, like, when they say the doors of the church needs to be open, like, when some of these kids get out of school, some of them, you know, they might be at home by themselves. Maybe go to a church. Maybe go to a church, shoot you some hoops, be with somebody at the church as a mentor.
Most of these kids are by themselves.
Yeah.
Like I said, you don't have parents anymore. These parents have to be providers because they're single parents. There's only one parent in that household. You got two different households with two different rules. You know what I'm saying? And then you have some parents that are pent against each other for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to work on the same accord.
Right.
Like, say, for instance, we were together, and we had a child. And this child got two different households. And how I run my household might be different on how she run her household. This kid, think about the critical decision he or she has to make. They have to understand and make critical decisions on how they're going to handle things when they hit different households.
Well, first of all, what you have to do with that is, it's a lot of stuff that we need to get right as parents,
mm-hmm.
and co-parents,
mm-hmm.
before we ask the church to do anything. We like, let's be smart about this. If we're trying to build a solution to this thing, we gotta keep some responsibility in at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. I'm a single mom, but I tell you what, some of my kids know how to cook. They know how to cook because I bring them in the kitchen when I'm cooking.
Right.
But that,
I grew up in the kitchen.
But that's all I'm saying is, no, I don't have time. I don't have time like that because I have to do other stuff just to make money, just to take care of what I need to take care of because I have to provide.
Mm-hmm.
I have to provide.
Yeah, most definitely.
So that is, it's cool. And it goes back to us saying, if we're going
to
say we kings and queens and we adults
that,
about stuff,
we got to
sit down at the table and we got to conduct ourselves as that.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't take much. It just takes you laying down the law and saying, well, this is what it is. This is what we can do, and compromise and also be understanding and the fight in it.
Mm-hmm.
What we fighting about, we need to let it go, man.
Right.
Let it go. And
it's
bet you if we do better in our home, you won't have to go outside the home to get the church.
Right.
It will make sense,
yeah, it
because
makes sense.
You have to fix home first.
Oh.
I just remember my mother and father teaching me a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
when my mother was a minister. She would say, if your home ain't right and you go to church, how do you get anything right? Your home ain't right. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
And so
that's
we have to be, we have, I'm not saying that it's not a good idea. I'm saying there's so much responsibility that lies in the parent once you lay down and you have sexual activity going on. You understand and know that there is a place that you have to deal with that person again, again, and again.
Mm. You know, it's funny because, like, we grew up the same way. You know what I mean? That's why we have so much of the great same ideas. You know, same train of thought when it comes to a lot of, because we grew up a lot of the same way. We both had ministers, you know, as parents. And our households were ran, like I said, it was a dictatorship. It wasn't no, everybody come join in and tell us what you feel and how you think. No. Mr. or Mrs. Somebody said, this is how it's going to happen. That's it. And if you can't roll with that, you can't be here. Mm. That's how it happened.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that was always the right way to do it, because I chose to run my household a little different. I don't want to be a dictatorship. I am a dictatorship when I have to be. I want my son to have an input. I want him to have a voice because I didn't have one as a child. So I always wanted my son to be able to feel free to be able to speak the way he want to speak. Because if he does, then I know how he truly feels. I can't know how he feels like he never opened his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
My parents ain't never know how. My mother just kind of, in the last 5 or 6 years, realized how much I kind of suffered being the middle child, per se, and I didn't have a voice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when I finally got one, I ain't shut up. I didn't shut up. I said what I want to say when I want to say it, why and how. And you dealt with that. Oh. I don't care if you dealt with it however you dealt with it, but you got to deal with that.
Let me read this real quick. Mm-hmm. Read his comment. John said, that's why our community needs to go to the range and learn how to use these tools.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
I agree.
That's
another agree.
Some parents are worse than their kids.
I agree.
John want to speak one more time. Let me put John back.
Yeah, come on. Bring John back
up. Let John back in. Then we're going to bring Dwayne.
Yep.
Go ahead, John. Your mic open.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What up?
Yeah, Ty had brought up something real quick. Should we do economics in the church, like home economics, teaching the kids to cook? And I just want to tell y'all a story. I want to tell y'all a story real quick. And this is why I believe it takes a village to raise a child. And the people I'm talking about are still alive and well, and I love them. They like family to me. But I had a friend of mine to this day, you know, at a certain age, he was taught how to cook. He was taught how to, you know, take care of his little sister as far as changing diapers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go kick it with him, you know what I'm saying, spend the night and normal stuff. And once we got grown, you know, he would tell me stories, you know, and he would, you know, cry tears about the stuff that he had to go through, you know, how he
mm-hmm.
had to, you know, pay bills and put groceries
mm-hmm.
in the house because mom's was high at the time and she couldn't function, you know what I'm saying? Or how his little sister right now has her own business way out in Atlanta that's thriving, but she don't know what he had to go through to keep her through high school or to keep clothes
mm-hmm.
on her back. Or why, when she calls home to talk to her mama, she can't really talk because she's, you know, she's high at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or in high school, you know, I work, you know, all summer. Man, let me show you what I got. I'm going to bust their head this year. Woo, woo. Okay, well, let me show you, man. I said, okay. I said, how you get these clothes? Yeah, I had to sell dope for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Every household is not going to be the same. My mother was the best mother in the world. You know what I'm saying? My mother raised me, and she got into a car accident when I was at the age of 13. Paralyzed her from the waist down. You know what I'm saying? But I already had a village. You know what I'm saying? You know, she came back within less than a year, bought her own house, bought her own car. We was back in the neighborhood like nothing had happened. But it's
right.
because we had a village. I had grandparents. I had uncles. I had friends. You know what I'm saying? She had friends.
Right. And it took that village.
You know
what? Hold on. I don't mean to really correct you. They weren't friends. They were just extended family, bro. Because, I remember what you're talking about. We like I said, we all around the same age group. So we grew up with the same kind of upbringing. You know, like, I remember getting a whooping from Miss Jefferson down the street. And then when I get
mm-hmm.
back to the house, you know, I always called my mama and told her what happened. My mama whooped me. And then when my daddy get home, he beat me. So I got 3 whoopings for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Parents don't do that no more.
Right. But I'm just talking about in this situation where you had an unstable household, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He had to have uncles and friends, and he had to have an extended family. Because mom's wasn't in the right state of mind, you know what I'm saying? Mom's
right.
was, you know what I'm saying? And when he, you know, got down the wrong path, you know what I'm saying? Mom's would pop out of him and say, hey, you effing up, I'm going to whoop your ass and all this and all that. But there's certain times she wasn't there to do that because she was,
she was
under that influence of that drug, you know what I'm saying? So he had to have some kind of foundation where he could function. Now, should he have had to do that? No, he shouldn't have had to put groceries in the house. He shouldn't have had to change the little sister and buy her school clothes and make sure the lights stayed on. He shouldn't have had to do that at a young age. But somewhere he found the foundation you know what I'm saying, to be able to function. Let them survive, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's all I'm saying. I just believe it takes a village, and it starts at home.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
Appreciate it, John. Let me bring in my boy, Dwayne.
Let's see.
What's going on, bro? I think you muted.
Trying to use these.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hold on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Buzz, man, because this stream, y'all was acting crazy with my phone, Mike. Like a lot of the things that I'm hearing so far, just to start off, man, I was sitting up here listening to everybody's comments, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, I invite people to the show and different things like that, and somebody just sent me something. They're like, man, you know, Keith and Kiki was just talking about, to the point where they sent me a message, a conversation that I had with them years ago,
mm-hmm.
that and the comment was some people have been in relationships that should have never been created, and some have endured relationships that never should have lasted.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I believe why that stuck out to these individuals point that out is that, you know, it really, really goes to what Keith was talking about, that, you know, Ty, I've been on that on my channel for quite a while, the subject of family being redefined.
Right.
That's what we have in this society. And
mm-hmm.
whether we want to accept it or not, and why the church, first of all, this is where the church is important. The church is supposed to highlight and open your eyes to the spiritual aspect, because you must understand that daily you are dying.
Mm-hmm.
Proof of that. We talking about gifts. We talking about presents. We talking about birthdays. Well, you're aging way before your birthday even comes.
Mm-hmm.
Climb up and out of them trucks. Some of these UPS drivers and different things, or some of these people that are even athletes.
Yeah.
Whatever you do on a daily basis, yeah. their knees start talking to you, their back start talking to you. We have so many red flags or alerts to us that we are aging every day.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? That tells you that this life here is not just about getting to heaven, but it's about completing an assignment that God put you in.
Mm-hmm.
And you must do that.
Mm-hmm.
You must do that before. So there's a timeline. You know, me and Ty had a joke about the dash in between your birth date and your end date. Well, your birth has been here. God knows the end. So
mm-hmm.
we have to absolutely trust him. Like he said, love your church, trust your church, trust God so he can lead you to that community, because that community helps you highlight what you should already be studying behind closed doors. Because as Kiki said, there is a dual life, multiple lives are showing by the time you get to the church.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I've always heard somebody joke is that if a man is preaching or blah, 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 just look at his wife. If she ain't manning, it's okay. If she ain't, he'll lie.
Yeah,
so,
it's a lie.
You
yeah.
know, and another thing, it's true. You know, like you can tell by, you know, grandma ain't never lied. It's
mm-hmm.
like when you live with a person, you going to find out who they are. They can
yeah.
do. So back to what I started off with, families being redefined. God has already let you know in Genesis, I think it was Genesis, either 2 and 24, 25, or Genesis 3, 24, 25. Anybody can correct me if I'm wrong. But that's where it talks about he lets you know what a family is. You leave a man leaves his mother and father
mm-hmm.
to plead to his wife, because you're planning a family.
Right.
You're creating civilization. You have the life spark in you to sow it into soil so it can be multiplied, because that's the beauty of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't no birds and no bees. It ain't none of that crap.
Yep.
Because the Most High made it clear. Cleave your parents, cleave the hub, because that's nature.
Mm-hmm.
We was watching Lion King. Lion King teaches us all
everything.
Kind of stuff that we missed. and that's why I always joke lately. Animals are smarter than some of us.
Oh no, ain't no some of them. They are. Because think about it, you know.
Yes.
I've always said animals' instincts have always figured it out. They never let their train of thought get in the way. Their instincts have always figured it out. Always. I always say, like, I ain't going to get into that tonight. I'm going to pause on that portion of what I was about to say. Right, wait, let the wave finish going.
Go ahead, D.
People saying some old point stuff, but at the end of the day, man, when it comes down to it, it's just the fact of the matter is we have to be willing to fight for battles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I said several shows about gold. This probably was early in the year when I said the best way that the so-called black woman can show us that they love us is not to say I love my kings, I love my black men. Pick one of us, build with us,
mm-hmm.
so we'll, that's how we you show us that you love us. Because we got all this pro-black and all this other little different stuff. We for everybody, but there's so many entities that prove the opposite of that. Really, really, really understand what fighting for family is, because I'm going to tell you, being a man who had to go through divorce, I blame me. This is why I blame me, because I could have been a better father. One of the things about me is it don't really matter. I actually talked to my ex a couple of days ago. I don't care to write down a list to throw stuff at you or whatever you can call it, because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the mother of my children.
Right.
I chose that. If something happened to you right now, I would be torn because my babies don't have their mother.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, that's the maturity in me and the God in me saying there's something bigger than a list I can make about what you did to fail me.
Right.
Forget all that. I'm the man. I'm supposed to love you plus have a sacrificial love like Christ died on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said, die for your bride the way I die for my bride. Well, how did God die for us? How did the Magi die for us? He could have came off that cross.
Mm-hmm.
He was poked and primed and agitated, blindfolded. If you were really God, come on down off the cross. That would have been a detriment for us if he had done that.
And you're right.
That's ultimate meekness and humility.
Mm-hmm.
True power is the fact that he could have came off that cross and just shut it all down.
Hey, Dwayne.
But he said they know not what they do. He showed us what it is, and that's why there can be a Kiki, there can be a Keith, there can be a Dwayne, there can be a Todd that God has forgiven for many things.
I mean, it's funny that you say that, because all that boils down to me is in one word, well, two words: honor and accountability. Facts. Me and Tyler was talking about this before the show started. I called him.
Oh, yeah.
We was on the phone. I was at Walmart grocery store, man. I was sitting there saying, "Hey, man, look, I call BS on me before anybody else is able to call it on me. I call it on me, so nobody else can. So if I'm able to do that to myself, what makes you think I'm not gonna call on you? I tell people that all the time. I don't understand that. Look, I have a track record of that. Everyone who know me can account of something that I said, I did X, Y, and Z before. And they ain't even have no clue about it. They were shocked almost when I said it. Like, what? I hold myself accountable for any and everything I say or do.
I ain't gonna get on Keith.
You know what I'm saying? I do it. I do it all the time. I hold myself accountable.
Keanu know what he be talking about. I call BS on myself.
I do.
We're gonna talk about the friendship thing a little bit later.
Hold on. But, Tyra, let me explain something. We talk about the friendship thing all the time. The reason why we talk about it is because I'm the one that said it.
Yeah, you did.
And I not brought it up with nobody else.
You fact. That's straight up fact.
So, like I said,
fact.
If I can call BS on anybody, nobody would have never known had I not said it. And I didn't shy away from saying it, did I?
Wait, but I'm going to say this, though. That show that you and your co-host, Mimi. That show that you and Mimi did. I gotta put Keith on blast.
Come on.
Keith ain't put his stuff on blast. I'm gonna put him on blast. Okay, the show that they did, they had the audience like all caught up because I was all in them comments. I mean them comments.
Great
them
show.
Comments, boy, that thing was just
Bro,
moving.
Jumping,
it was moving quick. That little thing was moving quick, Dwayne. It was coming.
Everybody
like, oh,
was coming.
It is so nice to see a man and a woman be friends together. It is so nice. That was the first show. Then they went and did the second show. Like halfway toward the end, Keith or maybe your friend, one of y'all came out and
said,
"Well,
remember I said we tried to date when we first met."
You did more than say that.
Like I said, we tried to date when we first met. We wasn't friends at first.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't count that as me get with my friend, because she was not my friend.
Babe, Dwayne, the chat room went left after that.
Yeah.
They went left. When they heard that, they was like, oh, my God, he's such a creep. Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh,
I was a bad dude because I did normal things that everybody do. The only thing I did different was that person became my best friend, though. That's the only thing that happened different.
Right,
that person
right.
Put it like this. If I was just so much of a creep, me and her wouldn't be 30 years in like we are.
Right, right, right.
I still catch that all the time.
No, thank you. Hey, you know, I ain't going to lie. I salute my boy Keith for that because, thank you, a lot of people, they can't even stand and be open about it. Like he's saying, it's men out here that's like your best friend that has slept with all kind of women, probably just slept with your ex-wife, slept with your ex-girlfriend or you would never know. You know what I'm saying? He put it out there. He's like, hey, you know, I was a typical guy at the beginning. I tried it, but that didn't work out. So we became friends.
She became my best friend. Like, Davida and I are over 15 years in.
That's what's up right there. That's what's up.
We 15. Think about it. So for the last 15 years, there's nothing being between us but a platonic relationship.
That's
for 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how better else to even put that one.
Hey, Dwayne, now the
it
one thing.
Happen.
Say, what'd you say, Kiki?
I said it can happen.
Now, I'm going to say this, though. The one thing I be bothering Keith about is that they got this rule, Dwayne, that whenever he meet a woman, he got to run her by. What's her name?
Davida. Look, I'm explaining.
She
got to
run her dude by Keith.
I'm going to explain why.
But they both partook of the forbidden fruit.
But I'm going to explain why. All right,
go ahead.
Because we are best friends, and because we know the dynamic of a man and a female relationship. Let's call it for what it is. Prime example. This is why I say there's no such thing as a platonic relationship, really. I'll explain. And because society has made it this way, though. Tyrone, you and I, we can go to the fight right now in Vegas. And nobody think nothing about it. Me and you, that's my dog. We having a good time. Me and my dog going to go to the fight. Yeah. We're going to see so-and-so fight. We're going to kick it in Vegas and have a ball.
Right.
Me and Davida can't do that all because she's a woman.
They think y'all sleeping with each other.
Exactly. But my track record for the last 15 years, I showed you this ain't going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But because we decided to take it out of town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But that's the idea. And my whole thing is, what I tell people, don't put your limitations on me. Don't put your limitations on me. Because you don't have self-control and you feel the need to have to deflower everything around you, that don't mean I do.
John, summed up with your boy John. He said, Kiki, we can be best friends. Mr. D, he said, no fair. There are a few I did not do on the east side.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is that because of what he knows about the east side? I don't know.
He said, no fair. There are a few I did not do. Whoa.
Hey, Mr. D, I'm glad you didn't do that. You probably be caught up at the Bellflower too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, according to Mr. D, he said this is stuff out there that you a case that you won't even know you got it till like 5 years later.
Right. Oh, my God.
Y'all better be careful out here not using protection
with
these good-looking women.
Straight up. And see, that's why we having this talk, because you're right. It'd be them good-looking women that make you catch a case.
Some of the good-looking women, not all of them. But
most ever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I found out they got this little thing that ladies that y'all can use now. I heard this from a stripper girl. They said that you can put it in your vagina. It dissolves. It's like an antibiotic or something. And they said it'll cleanse your vagina to where it'll be looking like it was like you were 21 again.
I'm putting nothing about science no more, man. Hey,
when men
can look like women and generally look like women nowadays,
yeah,
I don't put nothing past science no more, bro. I don't.
But who wants that to look like 21, though? Like,
talking about the vagina, it'd be back healthy,
you know,
strong.
I'm going to tell you what.
You know what I mean? It's got that grip.
I'm going to tell you.
It's got that grip.
I'm going to tell you.
You trying to get up out of that
one. The women that got a 50-year mileage.
All you
got
to do is go in the.
In their 20s. The women who got a 50-year mileage in their 20s, them the ones that want to do that.
Straight up.
So when now they done hit 30, they're like, ooh, I done lived two lifetimes.
You mean?
Y'all mean? When they try. Let me go. I got to tighten up.
Hey, that's a lot of faith.
Come on,
man.
Come on.
Now,
you
know.
Hey, what you say? What you say, Dwayne?
Phases, man. It's a lot of phases, and I'm gonna tell you, bro. I done been throughout my 40 years, bro. From my 20s to now, bro. I remember being in my 20s, bro. Just a woman go through something with a dude. She cut all her hair off. That's a phase.
Yep.
She ain't never tattooed or piercing nothing. Now she piercing everything.
Yeah.
Everything. That's a phase. Oh, I can sleep with whoever I want. I'm liberated. I can do it. That's a phase.
But hold on, Dwayne. I got to ask you a question, bro. Y'all might want to whip y'all phone out for this one to see what I'm talking about. Because I got him up on the big screen. Bro, tilt your head a little bit. What's that? You got a heart? He got a haircut, but he got a heart. The line.
It was almost,
It's a heart in the middle.
It's a style. I like something like that.
Let me see. Hey, he got
this. I came close to getting the crown.
That'd have been dope. Hey, that'd have been dope.
Yeah, that crown. I'm like,
that'd have been dope. Do that next time, bro. That'd have been dope.
That's next.
Yeah, do that next time.
So I'm going to have to hook up with your barber.
Hey, I had to rep Drake since Jay-Z talking about don't know, can't nobody buy it.
Oh, yeah, we ain't about to get on
that. We ain't gonna talk about that.
We ain't gonna get on it because Jay-Z.
No, let's go.
He tripping.
No, wait, I can't say that, though, because Jay got hits, though.
Man, Jay was tripping.
No, but no, real talk,
girl.
Jay got hits,
anyway.
Though.
He knows.
I just watch your people all the time. We was talking about it on social media the other day. I said, you know, y'all trying to bash Jay, but Jay wouldn't be where yet if he didn't have hits.
He got hits.
Are you talking about his hits? Or are you talking about him producing hits?
No, hits. We talking about Jay got hits.
Jay, he all right, but he's a good businessman.
Yeah,
that's how I look at him. Right?
Jay got hits, though.
They call me hope.
Them first three albums can hit with anybody.
I
don't know if Jay can get more rhymes than me.
Y'all know Nas is my favorite dude out here.
Oh,
like,
man.
That's my favorite dude.
That's who I think he can roll with.
No, I can't say that. Lyrically, they can. But when you talking about hits, see, Nas don't have hits because he's not commercialized.
But Nas got lyrics.
That's what I'm saying. We talk about lyrics. Lyrically, yeah. I mean, lyrically, to me, ain't nobody. The only people living. Now, we should even have a conversation about
Jay. Nick can top on Jay.
Nas.
Rakim.
Rakim.
KRS-One.
KRS-One.
Big Daddy Kane.
Actually, you know what? On the low, Wale. People be sleeping on Wale, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go back and just listen. That's all I said. Don't listen to no beat, no party songs, no nothing. Just listen to an album.
I like some of Wale's music,
Even Jay done said it. Like, I think somebody asked Jay in an interview, like, who's the guy that's going to take the baton and keep it, like, and go, and just go run with it? And he said Wale.
John said Andre 3000.
Andre 3000. Come on, man. Y'all already know about
he was with Erykah Badu.
She had that spiritual.
Okay, you seen all them guys she was with,
man,
and then what
man.
They wearing.
Man.
You see how she changed their clothes, and then the dude she with now, she with a 25-year-old right now.
Listen.
Amen.
Some women got.
Amen, mama. Go ahead.
Wait. What did you say, Dwayne? You said they got that WAP. She got that WAP.
I said Erykah Badu was that original WAP.
Yeah. She the one turned everybody head.
Golly.
Everybody, what?
That's one of my favorites there, Erykah Badu.
Her and Lauryn Hill. It was her and Lauryn Hill to me.
Oh, yeah.
Her and Lauryn Hill to me. Yep. That's a toss-up. I don't care.
I love me some Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu, straight up. What about Jill?
Jill Scott? I love Jill Scott, man. I love her. You know why I rock with Jill Scott so hard, though, man? She holds herself in class at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ain't nobody ever heard of Jill Scott getting messy. Even in her brief marriage and divorce, that wasn't even sloppy. Like, ain't nobody heard nothing bad about that, bro. Like, she holds her health to a certain cachet. Like, we talking about Queendom. I mean, she might be at the top of the list right there. Her and Angie Stone. You talking about Queendom? Like, just how they handle themselves? Her and Angie Stone, man. Like,
Angie Stone did come out with that song.
You can't find nothing bad
brother.
About them. Think about it. They've been around this long, and you ain't heard nothing bad about them.
Yeah. Facts. I mean, I ain't really heard nothing bad about. I know they tried to say a little stuff about Erica. Say some stuff about Lauren, but still, my
them
girl.
Two, but what I'm saying is, when you talk about standard that you want to be held at, you know, like at the end of it all, when they put it away, when they done with their careers, they pass away, the eulogy happened, you ain't gonna have to worry about no dirt coming out on film. Like they, this is like. They own it because I think it's because they own it already.
They put
you know
it
what
out
I'm
there, yep.
They own it already. Mm-hmm. And it happens in the twilight. And they so lovable, you know, because of how they carry themselves, you don't want to continue it.
Facts. All right, they wanted to get back to the
go back.
Yeah, Mr. D, he said they must teach them about blue waffles. He said that's an STD.
Oh. That's something new.
I ain't never heard that about no blue waffles. That's some probably where your stuff gonna fall off on.
Yeah,
you.
But look,
attach
yourself to one soul.
And I'm gonna say this too.
Attach yourself to one soul.
I'm gonna say that's another reason why we speak on here. We teach the guys do not and I want Dwayne to talk about the farmer and the soil too. But for real, we teach abstinence and we teach don't even have sex till you marry.
Soul
straight
ties.
Up.
Look, man, look,
don't even do it till you marry.
Soul ties are real. Prime example. I'm going to share something about myself.
Duh.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to share something about myself because, you know, I don't personalize nothing really. I just try to keep it general so I can amass so everybody, you know what I'm saying, who's watching. But I can truly say and think back to certain people I've dealt with, and there's a certain energy you feel when you can think about them. That's a soul tie, man. Like, I've been reading a lot more about soul ties and I'm more in tune with that, and I can identify myself, you know, having certain soul ties to people out here. Like, and I ain't, these might be people I ain't seen in 20 years, bro. But just thinking about them, a certain energy get produced.
Straight up. I get.
Yeah. A certain energy, you know what I'm saying, pops around. And can't nobody tell me that's not tied, like, it's not a soul tie. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell me it's not.
Straight up. Let me bring some old people in because we getting ready to come down to the close.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of them trying to hop back in. Bring it was somebody here that had the 612. That's that was a Minnesota number.
Mm.
I don't know who that is following me for Minnesota, but shout out to him.
Right,
shout
come back, him. Come back,
Mr. D. Go ahead.
Okay,
Mr. D. If you there, come through. Come back in.
Yeah, it's very important. Can you hear me, boss?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, it's very important that the young folks today be taught, you know, the things that they need to know. I mean, you know, I've seen a guy like about 70, 80 years old with his pants down around his ankle, wearing a red bandana, talking about, hey, brother, for life. I'm looking at this cat. I mean, like, your life almost over, man. What do you mean for life? You need to be getting some Jesus. And, you know, like I just posted, man, there's a bunch of diseases out there that the black community is really not aware of. Blue waffle, pink waffles.
Mm.
The type of diseases that when you get it, you done got. You know, and a lot of the young folks out there playing Bumblebee, it ain't like it was back in my days. You know, back in my days, you play Bumblebee, you run out there, you get a shot, and you're good to go the next day. But today, these young folks get up there and run up into some stuff. Yeah, you know, they get up there and run into some stuff, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor said, whoa, never studied any of that. I don't know what that is. You go sit over in the corner.
You never look here. You know,
yeah,
idea.
Man.
Right. You like, oh,
so,
man,
so
I,
really,
I am now the outbreak monkey.
You know, I'm laughing. I'm laughing, but it's really a serious thing, man. Our young folks who's supposed to be the future, they really gone down the tubes. You got all these young brothers walking around here with their pistols. Hey, I believe in the Second Amendment, but I believe in the Second Amendment with common sense. You got these brothers walking around here with their pistols hanging out of their pocket like they think they in Dodge City or Marshall Dillon or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in the day when I was with BW3, that would tell me you showing your pistol, so I got to get you before you even get a chance to use it. The young guys ain't seeing that today.
I said so many words. I just said that.
You know,
so
the
many
young
words.
Folks, you know, the young folks are not being taught what they should be taught. And the schools can't teach them because they got
no.
a thing out there called Sue, where the schools are scared that they're going to get sued if they say the wrong thing to them. Like I was
but
reading
also,
the paper the other
D,
day. Yeah.
Also, Mr. D, you know, the school can't relate to these communities. That's part of the problem.
Well, especially,
like,
well, it's just like, it's just like right now. It's just like right now. Over here on the Far East Side is hot boxing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Far East Side is hot boxing. They got all kind of white rookies on the police force running through here trying to deal with these African-American people. And
mm-hmm.
they don't know nothing about them. They're scared of them. So what
yeah.
they going to do? They're going to do like they're going to walk up there and they're going to try to pop them the first chance they get. But then again,
yeah. over police.
You got some of these old heads. They're telling these young brothers, yeah, man, I did 5 years. This is where I messed up at. So if you're going to hit this store, you go in and do this and do that and do
That's
that. Da, da,
yeah.
And you're good to go. You know, they're not teaching them the right thing. But, man, y'all got a great show tonight. I had to say hats off to King Dwayne. Big John, you know you're my guy, man. And Keith, you did a great show tonight. All of y'all did.
Yeah.
And Miss Kiki, I had to turn the 3D off the TV before I got myself in trouble. Stop looking so good for a 300-year-old man. I catch y'all next go round.
Let me bring John in. Appreciate it, D. Appreciate it.
We got to see Kiki in 3D. Man, Mr. D, I'm going to come through.
Yeah.
3D. Yeah, 3D.
I mean,
I see the real thing, but the way you talk about 3D.
Right. All right, John, your mic open.
What's good, y'all? Thinking about something when y'all talked about that versus battle. I was thinking about this today, and I feel like the music industry is corrupting our young people's minds by pushing them towards
Absolutely.
Materialism in a certain way. You know, we came up from the times of it takes a nation of millions to hold us back, UNITY, and that, fuck everybody, I can't trust nobody, and our kids are listening to that. You know what I'm saying? You at the family reunion, talking about fuck every. You at the family reunion, boy, go sit down somewhere and have some fun and talk to your people, play volleyball or something. But this is the stuff that is stuck in their minds, like, I can't trust them. And all it's doing is taking away our village. It's taking away our community. You know what I'm saying? It's making us be more suspicious of each other. And I've heard people be on this social media, and they say stuff like, you know, I don't fuck with a lot of people and da-da-da-da. And I just think that's totally backwards. Now, if you're a natural introvert, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
I like people around me. I like having – and if it's somebody that you have to put out of your life because they ain't about to write, then fine. I understand that. But as far as what's wrong with building relationships with people, you know what I'm saying, networking with people, you know what I'm saying, that's how you learn. That's how we grow. And I think the music industry is taking
that
and twisting it into something
out,
evil.
Bro. Yeah, I figured out why it's the way it is. Because since we've hit this digital age, we are so disconnected organically. That's
well, most definitely.
I mean, think about it. When we grew up, we ain't had no social media. Your social media was your bike and riding to the next neighborhood. That was
most
social
definitely.
Media. You know what I'm saying?
Most
depending on where you live at, you might have got jumped when you went to that neighborhood, but you was able to go back after you got jumped. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I grew up in the... So, I mean, like, you know, if I went to the west side, I had to watch it. I was a south sider. You know what I'm saying? I understood I had to step a certain way. I had to stand a certain lane. But that comes like, they so disconnected now. Like, think about it. You have people, I put a post up about 2 years ago, and I'm going to do it again. I might do it every year from now on. I put this post up. I said, if you're 30 years old and you don't have two or three friends that can vouch for you and be dependable in it. That's been
right.
there for 10 years alone. I have to question your character. And people was like, really?
Right.
I mean, 10 years? You know, I'm like, yo, I got friends from high school that I can tug on at any moment.
Right.
Like, I ain't even got a chemistry. Like, real quick, I can name out 10 quick, fast, in a hurry. Like, I ain't got to think about it. And they ain't even got to be my core. I can just name out 10. Mm-hmm. I ain't even got to think about it. Like, we ain't got social media. Like, social media has ruined people, because social mm-hmm. media has made you, if you're the meta world, like the metaverse, that's going to be a whole other thing too, man. Like, that's going to be stupid. That's going to be so crazy. Yeah. But people are so disconnected organically because they're afraid to get their feelings hurt. That's really what it is, what it boils down to, in my opinion. And the reason why we're so disconnected with that whole music thing and stuff is money has become king over them. It's not
right.
It's not about expressing yourself, you know, through music no more. It's about how can I make a dollar? And
right.
Like, we as black people, I feel like our biggest downfall is we are too inviting. Everybody is invited mm-hmm. to the barbecue because you said you was down or showed it a little bit. Mm-hmm. You now invited to the barbecue. Damn that. You ain't invited to the barbecue. You got to be certified to be invited to the barbecue. I'm hostile about it. Like, you have to be somebody who done shown me consistently that you that guy. All right, prime example. Let's take Eminem. Eminem should be invited to the barbecue. I have no issue with that. Like, mm-hmm. but I always stand firm in saying this. I always stand firm in saying
this. Should he be allowed to cook the barbecue?
You know, he allowed to cook the barbecue. I'm gonna say he should cook the barbecue too. The reason why I say
mess up the barbecue.
Hold on. The reason why I say it is this: he
don't mess up the potato salad.
He has been embedded from the beginning in our culture. I'm not saying he isn't, mm-hmm. but he's been.
That don't mean he know how to bake the ribs.
We got people who
came
from poverty. Part of the culture, don't need to be behind the grill at all.
Thanks.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he got more. Like I said, he has more of a right than they do. There's some people I want to trade. Let's trade
when
some
it,
off
when it
right
comes
now.
To the music, when it comes to the music, I think that's another reason we have to lead by example. You know what I'm saying? When my son was younger and I'm riding the car, I had him listening to Slick Rick, Beastie Boys, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He likes basketball because his dad likes basketball. So instead of knowing just who Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant is, I put him on who World Be Free was, who Magic Johnson was,
right.
Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, all these guys and the stats that they had, because we had to come from somewhere, and that's our past. So we had to know where we came from in anything, whether it be
mm-hmm.
sports, music, anything like
yep.
that. So when I sit down with not only him but his friends, there was one particular time my
mm-hmm.
wife got on me because it was, you know, doing a little weed thing in the car, and I sat in there with him. But I'm not in there just to be friends with him. I'm like, hey, you know, what y'all got going on? You know, this is our senior year. You know what I'm saying? Where y'all working at? Where you working at? You know what I'm saying? Who going to school
mm-hmm.
after high school? Y'all ain't going to college? Okay, so what's your plan? And then y'all getting a crib together? You know what I'm saying? These are the things we need
right.
to be. It's all at the end up. It's about a village and leading by example. But, hey, y'all, great show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be back when y'all, as soon as I get a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Man, we
and,
can't wait to come back. Appreciate it.
I flashed the Cash App up there. And shout out to GIB.
Appreciate it, John. All right, let's go to King Dwayne, and then then we're going to come to our studio.
Appreciate y'all. Great show as always. Glad to see Keith and Kiki on the panel. Lord Ty, appreciate being in your house, brother.
Appreciate it, bro.
Being in your house. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, going back to the topic, man, it's just that we have to understand, just like what Keith was talking about, this is why there is has been an importance of what you have been laying on the table, Lord Ty, for weeks, probably about over almost 2 months now, about what happened in the garden. Because I don't know if you guys, you know, we all scroll Facebook and all that different stuff through the feed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the memes that I've been seeing a lot lately is this overweight girl. And there's a conversation between her bank account and her meal that she's about to order. So it says, my bank account, $12.95 or whatever it says.
Mm-hmm.
But this seven piece, and it says this seven piece, $12.95 exactly was in her account. She said, I need that seven piece. So that's what was happening in the garden. In the garden, the serpent presented an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Eve actually let him know what was in their bank account. She knew what was going on. She knew the law because the
mm-hmm.
husband gave it to her. But the scriptures go on right after that to say, but it, because it was pleasing to her. Ah, you know what? I know what God said. I know the law. But man, that's show on point right there. That idea. That idea. Because that's why the scriptures say to gird yourself up with the whole armor. And then it breaks down what we are going to be battling in this day. Everything it talks about is spiritual principalities, wickedness in high places. So what does that mean, guys? That means that in this day and on forward, we will be fighting ideologies to the end when Christ comes back. So that's why you have the different factions, the alphabet people, the all this other different stuff. You will be constantly met with metaverse, ideals, all kind of stuff. That's why I say the serpent represented today is the social media. That's the biggest place that the masses can all at once receive ideas.
So
I say all that to segue to this. That is the importance of the church, to break down to you how much time is
to be devoted.
And to understand that it's like you got a pot pie in the oven or a pizza. The boss say you got 20 minutes, but how many times have we got a little bit distracted? Oh, man, I burned my pizza.
Yeah.
Burned my pot pie.
Yeah.
That's how hard the devil is on us to push ideas. He wants us to burn our pizza. He wants us to burn that pot pie.
That's a great analogy.
By getting distracted, because he understands this life ain't forever. It's very temporal.
Yeah.
And there's another life waiting for us. But if we think that in flesh, what John talked about, John said something about the music. Yes, it's another element of the serpent and of media to promote things that pump up what's pleasing to you. The scriptures say the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. People will say, well, God, know my heart. I ain't perfect. He sure do know your heart.
Right.
He said it's deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? He's talking about you. I don't know my heart like I think I know it until God gives me the test. So that's going to either grade me A, B, C, D, F. That's how that works.
Absolutely.
So by the time you get to us making choices, it is absolutely on us. And I did not want to offend Kiki. Brought something up that I said a while ago about toxicity and ignorance. And my statement was that there is proof that ignorance lies runs through man. It doesn't mean a man can't be toxic. But what it means is that it's just like a man being more logical than a woman. Well, God said that. He says you're the weaker vessel. You're the more emotional species. That's why she failed in that area. Adam failed because the second he had to be accountable, he lost his power and pointed at God, pointed at the woman, and pointed at everything. No, sir. Let me get you together real quick.
You need to be accountable.
You're not going to point at me.
Right.
You're not going to say that the woman did it, this, that, other. Then she pointed at
you. Because you knew better.
Everybody was pointing. Fact. So by the time we get to our relationships and stuff like that, going back to what Keith was talking about earlier, we lose power and opportunity to grow when we don't be accountable. When we say, he did, she did, my marriage fell apart because of you. You were horrible. You were this, that. Okay, how are you proving you changed it? Because the second that we talk about, but I'm not perfect, what people love to use, there are about 20 definitions of perfect. The one people love to use the most is the one that's talking about flaws.
Yep.
So what they're saying is I got some flaws. But you can be perfect, the definition, maturity, or complete. And that's what the Most High talks about in the scriptures when he's talking about perfect or chasing the mark or the scripture that says mark the perfect man. Well, how could you mark a perfect man? The maturity. Mr. B talked about it earlier about he said something about how what he was talking about, how the criminal can tell you how not to do this and do it better. Yeah, he's the OG. But the elder is going to tell you who God is, how you know what I'm saying, navigate through the foolishness. Because let's be real, the young man and the young woman needs to navigate through the foolishness that happens between the ages of 15 to 35.
Yep.
Because most people by those ages have went through divorces, damage, multiple partners, all kind of things. So if you can avoid all, like when you watch TV shows and you watch some, like one thing on top of my head, Mean Girls or Karate Kid. There's always the tables in the cafeteria, the popular kids, the jocks, the this. Because as Lord Ty was alluding to with the college and all that earlier, the first place that you are a threat of losing your identity that God gave you is in the groups at school.
Yep.
that also is an element of Satan or of the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
So coming back around to the farm and the soil, the man, ignorance, number one, a lot of people take ignorance, that word, and make it negative. Ignorance just means you don't know.
Yeah.
And you, if you, if I don't know how to fly a plane, I don't know how to fly a plane. I'm ignorant. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
That's my power. I don't know. So being a man who didn't have his father raise him, didn't have his mother, but especially not my father. Yet there were elements of me that, because of how much people always said, you're such an anointing on you. You're such a good young man, regardless of your father not being there. There was this hunger in me to be a good husband. There was this hunger in me because I kept having conversations with myself saying, I'm not this street man.
Yep.
I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm a good dude. And so sometimes that can be a bad thing, too, because you have to download information into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even with all the things that your parents, grandparents, whoever raised you, you have to take a moment to be to yourself, grow up, pay your bills, not trying to live with a girl, all that. As a man, you have to be your first ambassador. Go through, take an inventory check of your life and say, okay, I was taught this growing up. Let me take the meat off the bones of what was what they did their best at, but it wasn't all the way on point.
Right.
Add that to my lexicon and elevate myself, because by the time I choose a woman, it should be because 9 out of 10, I've reached that 35 to 40 point maybe, and I'm knowledgeable of life that I didn't have through my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk to a foreman, this is why I'm going to end with this. That birds and bees mess, that mess is some foolishness.
Yes,
and
is.
That's why I love what John said in the scripture. When I was a child, I thought I was a child. When I became
right.
a man, I put those things away. What that means is that you became a man in the sense that I ain't got time to be fighting y'all, ready to go to fisticuffs, talking about who the best between LeBron and Michael. I ain't no fan of them clowns. I'm a fan of my father. I should be a fan of my father.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the TV go off, I'm looking at my father. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they don't know how to separate entertainment from reality. I think that's the biggest thing.
They put so much weight on the celebrity because the family's been redefined. Daddy ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to put all the weight on the celebrity. I looked up to you so much and this, that, the other. We have got to fight for the ideal of family as God designed it. We have to.
You're right.
Because what we have in this society is, by the time you get to, and that's why I say, take your sons especially, and your daughters, take them, but especially your sons, because they are going to be the head and the kings at one point. Take them to farm. Let them talk to farmers and break down the process of choosing land that thrives.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances that you can have at your seed being choked and suffocated, as the scriptures talk about. There are different soils that will thrive and kill what you put there. So,
mm-hmm.
When you understand this as a man, you won't be ignorant no more. Then there won't be toxicity created because you sold in a land that only gave you weeds and no crops.
Yep.
Because you're the woman, the power of her is to feed the mass, to multiply, amplify everything you give her. If you're going to give her toxicity, guess what? If you're going to give her foolishness, she's going to give that back. Everybody going to die off what they eat because the umbilical cord comes first. When the baby's born, the umbilical cord gets cut, but it's spiritually still there, and now the baby's on the breast. The woman is always spiritually and naturally feeding the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So this is this is why when you get to the King Richards and the LeVar Ball, who tell you that they specifically were stubborn enough to plan out their children's lives, that's how we got to be.
Yeah.
That's how we got to be on point. So that it's not what Kiki said earlier about you got two separate situations. And you supposed to agree.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to come to an agreement on your mm-hmm. children because that's you only have them for a season. Then you transition from parent to advisor. That's biblical.
Yeah.
Because you can't parent them forever.
I'm about to turn into an advisor. I know
transition.
It.
Fact. And then now the father has no problem with the Bible talks about it. The old now gives the young. You got the youth and the power to carry everything I've already done.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have
yes,
this no more.
More, yep. That's what it means. You're so right.
It hurts, man. It really hurts. It hurts
Absolutely.
To see how many houses are divided and destroyed because we never understood what was supposed to be happening. And now you got women, mothers, fathers pointing at each other. Just fix your family. because this is a problem. And the best opportunity your children have to see order is you. You. It's like a car. So if Kiki is married to me, she is my extra set of eyes.
Mm.
I trust her
because
I can't take my eyes off the road as a driver.
Right.
We drive. We know the second you
take
your eyes off, you swerving any little bit. That's the magnifying of the navigator being there. And those children, you better believe they're in the back seat observing you and spectating you and learning from you and picking up from you.
Mm.
But nothing to really take from nobody no more because everybody is making up their mind what family's going to be.
Yep.
I don't need that man, but I'll take his seed and I'll take his child
for
it. And I'm going to pick another man and then deal with him. Like that delusion really is nature. No, that's unnatural.
So,
for a man to sit and work, no disrespect. But I just don't, when you actually, I've been painting a picture for people lately. How much sense does it make for a man? Lord God, please give me another man. That's not nature.
Not at all.
Already neutered. He's already neutered. He's already lost power because there's a family already ready made by the time he gets to that one.
Mm.
She can't even look for a husband because she's automatically got to look for a stepfather because she's got to protect her children.
Right.
Yeah. We
have got to understand. And so now, and I'm going to get this to keep after I say this. This is why studying that conversation between the Magiak and the lady at the well, because what did he tell her? He said, you got five husbands, and that didn't even include your real husband. Because what was real marriage? Consummating of your love.
Mm-hmm.
Sex.
That's why I talk about soul time.
Even today, you can get that certificate all day long and sign them papers. But it's official when you finally have sex with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because by it biblically and God spiritually, that's real marriage.
It is.
You better have something way before you sign them papers.
Man, boy.
And I'm out, man. I love y'all.
Right. I
appreciate it. Great conversation. If I didn't choose to work tomorrow, I would have been in the studio. Appreciate it, bro.
Dwayne, I'm going to be picking up on your social media here real soon. Like,
I
walk out the door.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, bro. I appreciate it. All right, man. Inside studio guests, whoever want to go first.
Ladies always first, you know that.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and pick up the pieces. So what everyone has said tonight is just really, it's all true. And it all revolves around family. Who are we?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, who are you? Who are you in your home? But if we want to stay on and stick to topic about having sexual conversation, should the church be responsible for that? I think it would be a good resource, but I wouldn't put all the responsibility on the church. And I'm going to say a little bit of something. I had to write my stuff down so I stay on topic. But as you talk about this, I said a long time ago, we're bought with a price. That's why music is not the same, church is not the same, and neither is home life.
Mm-hmm.
There is a responsibility for us all, though. But we seem to sit in a room and we'll point to the next person to take care of the responsibility. And so at that point, you have released your own responsibility because you want somebody else to do what you should already be doing. And then we are not building our own society within home, because if we were, there isn't a society that would sit on social media and can take control of your home, because you've already had authority in your home, correct? So, okay. So the church, let's speak of the church. The church is for healing. The church is also to teach for foundation and structure of how things were created to be. That is why the church is able to be on to be upfront to provide resources for things that we do need. So let's start by respecting what the church is actually for, and not use the church to take care of things that we don't want to step up and do. We all have a responsibility. That doesn't take from the responsibility of the church, though, because the church holds the responsibility to God.
Mm-hmm.
So the pastor, if the pastor is not leading the flock correctly, he has to deal with God,
mm-hmm.
or she has to deal with God. And so be very careful That's why I say it's a good thing to talk about family. There's so many broken families. It is ridiculous. And it is broken because we have been toxic between the man and the woman. And we are not willing to sit down and get it correct. So if we don't get it correct between the two parents, the mother and the father, how can the children go out and not be toxic? Mm-hmm. How can they go out and be delivered from a mess that we've made? I'm saying we got to sit down and talk and actually be adults about it. And then we can see more of what we should be doing in our home and how we have authority in our home. If you are disrespectful to the father of your kids, if you are disrespectful to the mother of your kids, there is a price to pay for everything.
Yep. And normally it's going to start with that child, unfortunately. But my take on it is there's two
Thank
words.
Thank you, Kiki. Appreciate it.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
There's two words for me all the time. The two words for me is honor and accountability. Honor and accountability are the two words for me for pretty much any foundation. You know what I'm saying? Because if you honor that thing, you got faith in it, you're gonna restore in it, you're gonna invest in it, you're gonna make sure it's at its best at all times if you honor it. Now, accountability is also when you know you're not doing what it is that you need to be doing, so now you need to be accountable to be able to fix whatever it is that you have messed up. So many people don't want to be accountable. Yeah, but is what I hear a lot. Yeah, but so-and-so did X, Y, and Z. Okay, but you had your hand in that too. You know what I'm saying? So we just supposed to smack one hand and dismiss the other? No, you have to be held accountable. You have to hold yourself accountable before you can actually ask anybody else to hold themselves accountable. It's called leading by example. My grandfather, man, I think about stuff like this a lot now that I've gotten older because I'm getting to that point. I'm not a pawpaw yet. Don't expect to be one anytime soon. But, you know, I see my father and myself a lot more now, especially since he's passed away for a few years now. I see myself and him. I see him and me a lot. I look in the mirror. I see him now. And I think about things that he said. Like I said, I understand them now more than I ever have in my lifetime. It is so clear to me. Accountability is a big one for me now, you know, because my father used to always make you stand front and center and be accountable for whatever it is that you did or was about to do. He made sure that you was going to be accountable. You know what I'm saying? He that's one thing he was going to do. So my father, he was a minister he was a pastor for 30 years. And he worked for General Motors for 35 years. And he was a supervisor for General Motors. And he tells the story all the time. I think about the story all the time. And he said one day a guy at work asked him, he said, "Hey, Jackson, you know, you're a minister, right?" And he's like, "Yeah." He said, "So, you know, you believe the Bible, correct?" He's like, "Yeah." He said, "So if I was to smack you if I was to smack you, would you turn the other cheek?" My father said, "Oh, well, I'm going to tell you this. I'll let you know ahead of time before you do. If you smack me, I might turn the other cheek. But remember, I only got two cheeks." So that story told me, you know, it's a mistake one time. It becomes a pattern when it happens a second time. Mm-hmm. And so I always try to check myself based on that story. I always try to check myself. That's why I say nobody's going to be able to check me if I ain't check myself. Like, I'm going to check myself 90% of the time before somebody else grab my shoulder and be like, "Hey, player, you get on the wrong way now." You know what I'm saying? You playing with a fine line. I'm normally going to check myself before that happens because, like I said, if I'm called BS on me, I'm so going to call on somebody else.
Straight up.
That's just what it is. And I hold myself accountable. Everything I've ever said or done, I'm going to admit to that. I'm going to admit to it. Because I said it. I did it. I mean, that's facts. But can somebody else do the same? That's what I always say. So just it's about honor and accountability. You honor your church. You hold your church accountable. Can your church hold you accountable? Can your church also honor you
as you do your church. Like, it's you should be one body with each other with that.
Tyron, just really quick, I will say this. If we're really thinking about asking the church to help with this, to ask the church to be more responsible, it would be insane not to ask the parents,
right,
not to be more responsible. Just a little bit more. Every day is a learning experience when you have children. No day for me is the same. There is never a dry moment. But I will say this, everything is learning. No one is perfect. But I think when you're striving for perfection and you do take the accountability and you do be honest with yourself, with your flaws, and a little bit, I can do a little bit more setting my children down and talking to them. I can do a little bit more than that. If we're going to go and ask the church for more, we need to do more.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because what I'm about to say now is I challenge every parent to be able to have a conversation with their child at least once a week. I'm talking about a true conversation, not a Q&A. You ask them questions, they give you answers. I'm talking about a dialogue with your child. I challenge every parent to at least once a week just have a dialogue with your child. Hey, what's your favorite subject in school today? What's going on with that right now? Like, my son, he's in his biology class. He's learning how to cut brains open on animals and stuff like this. He's learning how to dissect stuff. Like, that's a class he's into. I never thought my kid would be into anything like that. Like, if you ever seen my son, you wouldn't think it. He's a computer kid. But he's into that. Big ups to Warren for that. I got to give Warren props for that. Because, like, when you catch my son, if you can catch my son.
Oh, he ain't in a pipe.
No, he got Warren. Oh. When you catch my son's attention, educationally, that's because my son, I don't want to say he gets bored easily, but he's a self-educator. He'll pick up a book and read it himself. You ain't got to tell him to do that. You know what I'm saying? So he's a self-educator. So if you can keep his attention, you've done something. That's big. Big ups to Warren for that, having that program. Continue it. I hope everybody enjoys that or whatever. But I thought it was phenomenal for him to sit there, and you can see the excitement in his face telling you about something. Like, Daddy, I learned about this, and I learned how to cut open this, and I learned this, this, and this. And I don't know half the stuff. But because he's so interested in it, I am interested in it. Like, you know, I start Googling stuff, YouTube and stuff. Because stuff that I'm probably never going to use, but I want to better understand what it is he's talking about. I challenge every parent to just have a conversation with your child once a week, just one conversation. It ain't got to be long. It could be 3 minutes long. Y'all can talk about sports. Y'all can talk about religion. Y'all can talk about, you know, shoes. But just the conversation, because what that allows is, coming from a kid who didn't have a voice, it allows them to understand they have a place with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that place ain't always dictated by you.
Right. Well, hey, shout out to Keith. Thank you, Keith. Shout out to Kiki. Thank you. Shout out to John. Thank you. Shout out to Dwayne. Thank you. Shout out to Mr. D. Thank you. I think I seen Monty Bello in the chat room, man. Shout out to all y'all, man. Let me hit that one time for you. Man, to sum this thing up, I'm going to just say this. You know, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. And that's just pretty much like what Kiki said. And we're going to, you know, ask the church to, you know, do a little bit more. Parents, please do a little bit more. I mean, I'm a school bus driver. I've been doing this, February, maybe 7 years. Been working with kids since 2006. So 22 would make, 16 years? Mm-hmm. 16 years in working with kids, and I see a whole lot. It's so much stuff I see. I could never ever repeat some of that on this platform, but it's so much I see. Sometimes I just put my head down, like, whoo, because, man, I mean, it's some stuff that, you know, the little time I had the kids on my bus, I can't change none of that. You know what I'm saying? I just kind of manage it the best that I can, but, you know, I can't change some of these wild, crazy behaviors some of these kids be having. Like, man, boy, your mom just gonna send you to school just like that, and ain't gonna do nothing about it. Just gonna go to school, let the school handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And the school, like, we only got him for 5-6 hours, and after that, we send him right back to his mom. Mm-hmm.
and they got so many.
Oh, it's dead, you know.
And they got so many to deal with. They can't concentrate on one.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that's it. Hey, if you, you know, stay ready. You ain't got to get ready, man. We want to thank everybody for their participation tonight. Please don't forget we got merch, man. I'm here, $20 a shirt. If you want that hat, $10, but that hat belonged to me. But if you talking about coughing up $10, hey, that hat'll be yours. Other than that, man, next week we'll probably be out of town next week. If not, we'll be back in the same studio. Doing our thing, having more conversation. If we back, well, I know not next week because a lot of the pastors they'll be getting ready for watch night service. But I was gonna try to do a part two to see if the pastors still want to come through. But yeah, it's watch night service next week. But anything else other than that, man? Hey, everybody, be safe because people out here they catching that virus, and there's people out here. They jacking you, you know what I'm saying? I seen a young lady last week. She said that somebody put a gun to her in the car. She said that she was able to remain calm, and they took whatever it was they took. They weren't able to they took the car, but she had a GPS, so she got that back. So, you know, praise be to God, the sister was able to get a car back and all the other stuff they stole. She can get that back too. But yeah, be careful out there. Strap up if you got one. If not, get your little pocket knife from Walmart. You got to do what you got to do to protect yourself. So without further ado, we will see you guys in 7 days. Peace. Be blessed. Peace. It's gonna be your shit, yeah. It's like I can't go wrong. You gon' put this on me, please. It's gon' be your favorite song, I know.